Blog Talk Radio.
Psychic X Turning Man Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. If you want to call and get a free reading, please do so at 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031. If you're in the chat room, which we're going to check on the chat room right now. So if you're in the chat room, we can also answer questions too. So just let us know. We'll answer the questions for you. So we're going to go over the whole thing. So therefore, please join us. Also, with the situation here, it says, welcome to the show. How is everybody doing? If you want to get a reading, please give us a call, 646-721-9031. We do full readings. We're different than other shows. We don't sit here and answer a couple questions. We try to give you an idea what a reading is. So therefore, I feel like the idea of doing that is to give a full reading. All right. So therefore, if you want to get a private reading with me and you're content and satisfied with what you saw and you really want to do that, give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 719-344-8699 or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman. We're also on a special this month where it's $75 for 75 minutes, but there's also different variations. So if you only really want to do a 45-minute reading, it's only $45. 25-minute reading is $25. We also have a 15-minute reading for $15. We do variations of readings, angel card readings, tarot card readings. We do relationship readings. We also do relationship counseling, relationship, and also life coaching and those things too as well. So if you're in the room, we'll get you soon. I just want you to sit there and look at the situation too, what you can do, what you can do. So if you're in the chat room, please ask a question. We'll be glad to answer them for you, okay? If you want to give us a call here, please do so. We are really reared up and geared to doing readings tonight, so therefore, I guarantee you get some really good answers. And every time you get a reading from me, I guarantee you'd be one of the best readings you ever had. Excuse me. But you can't really experience those readings unless you pick up that phone and give us a call or send us a question in chat. Trying to deal with some things here. So everybody's in a little bit of a situation. Let's give a little insight to the archangels themselves, okay? If you're kind of curious about Archangel Raziel and angels like that as well, and you're not really sure what they do, like Archangel Ariel is the angel of the spirit of nature. Because Ariel is so close to the earth, she helps with day-to-day material needs of home, food, clothing, and so forth. Call upon our Ariel for strength and support if you're worried about finances and or desperate times. One thing people will have a tendency to look at is the idea of Archangel Gabriel. He is the angel who helps people become divine messengers of love. When you speak, think, and act from a place of love, others are irresistibly drawn to you, which means the idea of focusing in. People have a tendency to want something, they want answers, so therefore they'd be instantly attracted to you for those answers, and you would have those. So, I'm going to go to something here. We have someone in the queue. Let's see if they want to talk and ask a question. Okay. All right, we have a lady in the queue named Barbara Toole.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I just kind of wandered onto your site. I'm just wondering if you see anything for me.
Do I see anything for you?
Yeah. I'm kind of stuck now.
You're kind of stuck?
Yeah.
So where are you calling from?
Ontario, Canada.
From Canada?
Mm-hmm.
And is your name Barbara?
Yes, it is.
And what's your birthday, Barbara?
May the 19th, 1960.
May 19th?
That's right. 1960.
1968 or 1960, because you keep fading in and out, sorry.
Zero.
Okay, 1960.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Well, that's kind of wild. We've got two Tauruses talking to each other. There's only a variation in 1 year. I was born in 61, April 26th.
Okay.
So with the situation at hand and things coming to you and all this other stuff that's... I mean, the idea of looking for things, when I sit here and look at the situation, the first card I come up with is unity, which is just focuses on basically surrounding yourself with people to be considered mentors and just like-minded people.
Okay.
I'm not saying there's people around you that are or are not, but it also shows a reflection of a clearing out before the end of the year. Yeah, it's like coming to a point of understanding what and who is good for you and what no longer contributes to your happiness.
Okay.
And your goals.
Okay.
Are there any particular... I don't know what it is. It's like one of those situations. I'm trying to, I think. I just started doing the show again, so I'm trying to relax and get into the mode of this thing. Plus, I just acquired a new shop here in Colorado.
Okay.
So I'm trying to balance everything out. I'm not having trouble. I'm just having a hard time communicating with people. Because I'm being pulled into so many directions. Because the shop, I work with people directly.
Okay.
So it's... I don't believe in mask, but in the past, it hasn't been that way. So sometimes those old habits have a tendency to come to the forefront because interacting with people face-to-face can be a different situation.
Yes, I'm sure it would be.
But I'm actually going to do a little variation. I have this thing called a seven-card pyramid spread, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a variation of a three-card pyramid spread. Okay, what that is for example, if we were doing a seven card, it would be, we would start off with seven cards, and we would actually start putting cards on it, like where you have the seven cards, you have those little spaces between, we put cards there too, so we just keep building a pyramid. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a three card pyramid.
Thank you.
Going over the whole thing and trying to keep the conversation going because I was sitting there focusing on archangels and, you know, your variations and some of your with your spirituality. I mean, what is the one thing that you believe in the most of working with? Is it angel, archangels, set of masters, or a combination of all?
Angels, I would say.
Okay. One thing I would sit here and focus on you is Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael.
Okay.
The reason I would sit there and say that because I can almost see them with you. So you have a very strong side. And I think the Archangel Michael, when I always see Archangel Michael, it's always one of those things of clearing out and cutting cords.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing right now. Trying to.
Yeah, and in the process of cutting those cords, we're also going to be going through a process of healing. So yeah. Archangel Raphael. But I always tell people, too, in the process of confronting issues, cutting cords and releasing stuff, it also has the tendency to increase your prosperity, your abundance. It clears your mind in the process of seeing ideals and certain things you can do with yourself, which is kind of a great thing in itself. So the first card we come out here is the King of Fire. The King of Fire is the ideal. This is a focusing on, it might sound crazy to some people, but there is a sense within our, both in, one more time, there's things within us called masculine and feminine. Not just the ideal of balance between the physical and the spiritual, but there's also masculine and feminine, being and doing, giving and receiving, and so on.
Okay.
And this one here... This one here actually focuses on the more of the masculine side, where it talks about motivational, idyllic, ambitious, where it says focus, focus, focus. Communicate with vision and be a leader in your life. So you already know what you need to do. It's more or less, the motivation to follow through.
Yes.
I guess you would sit here and say that spirits could be the more emotional side, and then the ego is the physical side.
Okay.
It's the ideal. It's the ideal putting the ego in its proper position to realize you're in charge, and the ego is there to motivate you to do what you know you need to do spiritually.
Okay.
So it's the ideal taking advice from people that can be really creative, and you have a tendency to be drawn to listen to. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we have number two. The number two card is actually the Hermit. It also has a nine, where you feel like a lot of things are really going to change in your life by September. So you got all this stuff going on in the next, what is that like? I would want to say around 6 to 7 months.
Oh, that long?
Mm-hmm.
Before I get myself back on track.
No, it's just showing a lot of variations in that 7 to 8 month period. That by September, there's a lot of things you're going to be embarking on because of what you've gone through. Not saying it's going to take that long.
Okay.
It's even one of those situations when you look at it, you're not going to even know. It's one of those things you look back on and say, okay, September and October making these decisions because of the great strength that you've acquired in the last 7 or 8 months.
Okay.
Because it shows in the third card, it talks about the Six of Fire. Now, the fire cards are, in this deck, is tarot cards, but what they do is they go in the elements. Well, this is actually wood. Or not wood, wands, sorry. These are the wands. So the Hermit card actually reflects on spending time in quiet meditation.
Oh, I have a
teaching.
Hard time with that.
Well, like they're saying,
I'm working on it, but I really, really have a hard time with it.
Right. It just shows it's just a self-discovery. It's also to help people understand in the process of spirituality, it's not a 6 month course, it's a lifetime commitment.
Okay.
Okay, so there's a lot of things going on. People think, well, I got to get this stuff done because there's certain things going on. Not realizing by going through the process, you're going to acquire those things anyway and still be in a position of spiritual alignment. Because a lot of people have a tendency to read the book. Yeah, I'm sick of the books. But I love the books. Because people don't realize the books are found, they're blueprints. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at blueprints, they don't build a house. They actually work with you, enabling you to build houses. So as you go through each room and you build this house, you see how it works. As your life goes the same way, you have rooms or steps that you take in the completion of your own home. But it starts with the foundation first. People don't realize even before the foundation is put down, there's already a foundation knowledge that you've acquired, so you can actually read that blueprint, okay? So you can see how the books and stuff can work, but it doesn't stop there. It keeps constantly progressing.
Okay?
Even with the house itself, once the house is completed, there's other variations and certain things that have to be put inside the house before we actually get to the point of completion. And even on that point, when you move into the house, where's the completion? It's a constant wanting and needing and desiring. Even when you get those rooms the way you want them to, there's going to be different changes and different variations that you're going to change your mind about because your perception has changed.
Yeah.
And you want to change that accordingly so it reflects you. So that's how this whole thing works. Okay?
Okay.
It also shows the ideal of victory. Good news is on its way. So there's a lot of things in that. It's
good news.
Go ahead.
I need good news.
Well, the ideal good news is happening before the end of the year. which will actually make it easier as you go into the next year, that what you need to accomplish, you can do it with confidence.
Okay?
And then the moon card talks about there is some caution with you and that kind of stuff too. And maybe even some people you can't trust. So you got to look at the situation and ask yourself, who goes, who stays, and being totally honest with you how they really contribute, if anything. Because sometimes we have a tendency to acquire friends because of certain situations we were going through, of certain fears we hadn't let go of. So we actually acquired physical manifestations as friends that actually have a tendency to remind us of those fears. They're the ones that come forward and say, you know, this guy you just met, he might be a serial killer. Ooh, you got to go.
Okay.
Because you're still doing the same thing as you did before. So her life is basically reflecting her own, and she's trying to impose it on you.
Okay.
She can see the fears. Okay, and it also talks about important psychic insights, which you're listening to now, and the idea of take time, go over it. You can go back in the archives and look at this thing and even download it. So you can actually sit here and look at the situation or listen to what had happened so you can reflect on it, on how it resonates with you. So you can actually utilize it to the fullest, okay?
Okay.
Because it's talking about releasing fears that holds you back.
Oh, well, right now I have a fear of growing old alone, just out of a relationship, and I'm not young.
The same. Old relationships... Try to take it like this and say, it's done.
I'm having a hard time with that.
I'm just saying, you have to look at the situation. The only reason it's still alive in your memories is because you're allowing it to be. Because the relationship and everything else that already unfolded doesn't exist anymore.
That's right.
So we look at the Unity card and how important it is, the ideal, how important it is to go out and seek mentors and like-minded friends.
Okay.
Contribute to the changes you're making instead of working against you. As a friend would sit here and go, you know, because you're sitting there going, I feel confident with the person I just met. And the person tells you, well, you know, he could be. But then again, it could also be a good reflection for you to trust yourself.
Okay.
Say, no, I don't think so. See, I feel like we could just erase a lot of things when things go in a certain way, certain situation where they don't exist anymore. First of all, what is so great about it, too, if you really want to get back with that person, I think the sooner you let go of it, the quicker a new opportunity is going to open up to have that reconnection. Not get back together, but a reconnection, because you can't go backwards. And also the situation of also releasing all those things where they were no longer there, too, could also open the doors very quickly, too, to a new relationship, because you wouldn't be judging it because of where you came. You'd be looking at the person and seeing them for who they are.
Okay,
so the seventh, we have variations of those things too. But your final card on top of that is the Chariot. Now, you can work with Archangel Hanel, and I'll give you some insights on that one. Just in case you're not too sure about Archangel Hanel or Haney. I'll look at it like Hanel. H-A-N-I-E-L.
Okay.
Okay, Archangel Hanel has long been associated with the full moon, intuition, clairvoyancy. So it's the ideal helping you understand in certain situations you might have more clarity when the moon's full with your intuition of seeing things clearly. It's also recommended you call upon Hanel for help in developing, trusting, and following your spiritual gifts and divine guidance.
Have issues with trust.
Okay, it was also the same thing with Archangel Raziel. Let me get this one here real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I got a little mad at my book and I ripped it in half. Don't ask. It's one of those things where I was in a day where the cards wasn't telling me what I really wanted to hear. What they were, but I guess I wasn't ready to listen. So now I have a book that's ripped in half. Which is good. I can go to my shop and get my other book because I got this deck of cards. I got this deck of cards, but I actually have two in the same deck because I use them because these things are so good. I actually am having my shop and here.
I can't find them.
Well, that's okay. It's one of the situations of you can ask your angels for anything and guidance on how to find things. I mean, shoot, I've given stuff away so many times that people kind of look at me like I'm crazy. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll have it back in a week or so if I'm meant to have it. And that's why it usually happens.
Okay.
Archangel Raziel offers sage advice to spiritual seekers including guidance about etric concepts, interpretations of your sleeping dreams, and past life memories. Call upon Raziel to help you find the richness that comes from meditation and spending time alone in contemplation. So therefore, what you were saying before, you have a tough time with meditation, so actually you can
call. I do, and being alone too, like even right now, I don't want to go out to the local pub by myself. I know it. I probably should just get lonely.
Well, that's the idea of looking at a situation, trying to get the concept differently. And the idea of loneliness and getting to a point where you're content with being by yourself.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people
right now, I'm not. Lots of anxiety going on.
Let's see. Archangel Sandalphon. Archangel Sandalphon is the archangel who delivers prayers from earth to heaven. Call upon him to increase your faith and your commitment to your dreams and your goals. So there are a lot of things going on. We have a lot. That's what I was saying before, the idea of opening your mind up to archangels. Because I actually have an angel deck. That's actually a combination of two decks. It's the archangel deck and the healing with the angels.
Okay.
You might want to try that one if you really want to read cards or get into the idea of I don't really call. It's not the idea of reading cards. It's the idea of connecting with your angels more and your archangels. Let's see how they actually work together, okay? And then the chariot card was a 7, but that's also Archangel Metatron. Archangel Metatron is actually, and also, if people didn't know this, Archangel Sandalphon and Archangel Metatron were actually human in one form. And then they ascended into heaven to become archangels, but they're the only two.
Okay.
So the ideal of what you can accomplish, it's amazing, just with those two people, just to the other two people's story. So hey, another good thing here. Archangel Metatron can increase your motivation and energy levels so that you'll accomplish your priorities. Metatron uses a sacred geometric symbols called a markum. It's like a cube with symbols. It's just one of those things that sometimes when we see signs, they could also be symbols that we don't recognize in our dreams. It's the idea of connecting with this angel to help you understand what those mean. So it's just the idea of getting more insight, realizing the spiritual part of this aspect. And you should also work with your chakras too. But I think you should also, in the process of trying to connect more and with your angels, spirit, our God, and all the guides and spiritual entities that are around you, and you should also work with there's also other chakras. There's a chakra that's beneath your feet, and there's also chakras above you that actually have, there's 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 different chakras, and they actually, there's a book out there called Quantum Healing, I think it's called. And it actually, that's a good book because it actually goes into the details of what those chakras are all about, which are more, because the ones that, when you look at the 7 chakras, the ones above the heart have to do with spirit.
Okay.
The ones below that have to, they work with earthly things. The idea of how you react with people, how much control, how much power control you have, your desires, your appetites and desires, which is the sacral chakra, and the solar plexus is the one in power control. And then you have your root chakra, which is the base of your spine. Then you have the one about, if you're working more on grounding, you should also take it to the point of saying, I want to ground more. So what you do is you work with your ground, you work with your root chakra. You also focus on that chakra beneath your feet. And there's also chakras behind your knees. It's almost like a symbol itself.
Okay.
Two triangles coming together. But when you focus on those chakras as you're focusing and grounding, and even they have things where you can do a cord where you attach it to the center of the earth and attach it to your root chakra, which is great for grounding too. been great for channeling energy, especially if you're a person who likes to, if you like to heal yourself. You can actually make it easier for the channel energy from the ground up to the tip of your head into your hands, and also in the process, focusing on parts of your body where you need healing. It's amazing how the body can actually take that energy that you give it and knows where to go with it. So the body's almost like geared to always constantly healing itself and to be in a very good state. So it's kind of fun. But the top ones are also the ones you see. I think it's number 9 and number 10, which are in the variations of connecting with the astral plane, your higher self. So it'd be very beneficial to do those. And then 11 and 12 are basically detailed to connecting to God, God, and just that ascended realm, okay? And it's also, if you're a person, who likes to work with angels. So it'd be very cool to work with these. And it's kind of funny because when I started working with those chakras, it was amazing how much you could feel the intensity of the energy in your hands even more. So it would actually enhance your healing abilities.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Please give us a call back and tell us how things are going, okay?
Oh, all right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's see. Let's go on to our next caller. It's actually area code. Area code 615. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hello. My name is Talisha. How are you?
Your name is Talisha?
Talisha. Alicia, but with the T.
Talisha. Okay. So how are things going with you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good question. I'm still working on that one. So, have we ever talked to you before on the show?
No.
All right. So, could you give us some little bit of information on where you're calling from?
I am calling from right outside of Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Nashville, Tennessee. Well, outside of Nashville, Tennessee. So you're in Tennessee. Okay. When's your birthday?
It is October 10th, 1984.
October 10th. So you are a Libra.
Yep.
Would you say you have a tendency to stay in relationships way past when you know you should leave?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like sometimes we consider looking at the situation, a certain traits of a Libra being loyal. Loyalty is good. If you're in a good relationship, it can actually work against you when you're in a bad one. But when we look at the situation, it was kind of funny when we were talking about bad and good. When we look at the situation, I'm saying neither one, where it's just the ideal of trying to understand why you attracted this person into your life. And then going back a little bit further and say, okay, I attracted this person to learn something about myself. So you look at the situation and say, okay, have you done that recently?
Have I done that recently?
Well, it's one of those situations. You can actually go say, okay, say that, for example, there's a past relationship that still has a tendency to bug you or just plague you when you're trying to figure out why, which means you have not learned from that relationship of what you went into it for in the first place. That doesn't mean you got to hang up. I'm just saying it makes it easier to let go of those things once you learn it. So some people say, like for example, there was a lady came on the show and she said, okay, how come I still love my ex-husband? And I said, well, it sounds normal to me. And she goes, what do you mean by that? Because you're a loving, caring person. That's what she needed to learn. Just because he didn't give her back what she was putting out doesn't mean she has to be less. And that's what she was thinking. She was thinking that, you know, this person didn't care about me, so there must have been something wrong with me, not realizing that it was just a learning experience to help her understand that she was a loving, caring, nurturing person, which she was reflecting back at him about himself, which he wasn't listening to. So that's why he treated her the way he did.
Oh, okay.
Just to learn from the reflection.
Does it have to be like a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, or is it just any relationship?
No, it's a personal interactions.
Okay.
Because we've actually had situations, too, where people no longer become friends because they didn't allow the relationship to progress where it was going to go and started trying to control it and say, I'm not ready. I'm sick of this kind of stuff, too. I'm not ready for a relationship. Well, reality says otherwise, because here you did manifest this relationship and this person as much as they manifested you. So therefore, the process of saying ready, then that's a really strong sense of being selfish, because you're not willing to give up, because you've been asking for, you've been praying for certain things. Like, I always just said that way. People have been praying for changes in their lives. They don't realize in the process of those changes, they're going to have to give up the old one. It's kind of funny how people go, I don't like my life, but they'll defend that freaking life to the freaking ends of the earth, which confuses the people who are trying to help them. Now we try not to shoot ourselves, because we're like, it's like the idea of a life of a psyche. Ooh, it must be fantastic. You know something? Realistically, it is, because we're doing what we love to do. And we're living our life with this. We're giving a service, and we're fantastic. But there's other times when we're sitting here going, we're frustrated because we really want to help. I mean, I should say, I really want to help. I know I don't know every psychic, but I'm just saying, with the situation, it's frustrating when you look at somebody and go, okay, you just asked me a question. I got the answer, but you're sitting here trying to argue with me. And I'll give you an example, because I've had people call and say, you know something? I really have no clue what the situation is, does. And then you give them an answer, and they say, oh, that's wrong. And you're like, okay, hold up. You're telling me you didn't know. You had no clue. I just gave you the answer, and now you're telling me I'm wrong? Based on what? If this is not the ego running amok, I don't know what is. Okay, so you see how the ego can really trick you in thinking that you're in control, when actually the trick is he's in control, and that's what he wants you to think.
Right.
Situation is, you can take a step back and look at the situation and go, okay, buddy, this is the way it works. You are just a passenger. You're Mr. Motivation to keep me going in the right direction that I know I should be going into, because that's what my guidance tells me. Spirit says, and the ego is going to come in and say, you know, remember what happened last time when you opened your heart? That's a fear. Because I guarantee you, every time you open your heart to a situation, it's the idea of realizing you didn't manifest it. And every time you face your fears, there's always a positive outcome, which means you would have a great relationship. Because you basically manifested each other into your lives to confront those fears, which had to do with relationships. So you can't confront those kind of fears if you're not in a relationship. It's like someone sitting there going, I'm learning how to trust people, and they don't go out. How can you trust anybody if you're not, you know, sure, you need to trust yourself first, but obviously that person doesn't trust themselves, or they'd be going out there intermingling with people. So it reflects the whole thing. People hate it when you sit and go, this is what's going on. Oh, I'm tired of this because it's true. You know, but it's not the idea of pointing out information to people to make them feel guilty. It's to give them a place to start. Okay, so you got some situations that could be a place to start that could help you acquire a good relationship with what you're looking for. Is that true or not?
I believe it's true.
Okay, well, we've got to be more direct. You know, hey, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
I'm kind of just blown away, because you just really launched right into this, and I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting to come in and go, well, I don't know what I want to know. You kind of answered it for me.
Yeah, she's like saying, now I know, so what should I do?
All right.
Well, it's one of those situations, I guess, is one thing that I've learned, to be very direct, because with more directness, quicker realizations happen and your life changes quicker. So, you know, you're a very mature woman, and some people don't think you are.
That's very true.
But we also have to look at the people who are also passing that judgment on you of where their immaturity is at. their immaturity. I meant to say the maturity, but that's really the point of the whole thing. And people pointing out your immaturities to you are also need to look at their own immaturities.
That's very true, and I think that very often, but I'm such a go-with-the-flow person.
Right. It's kind of crazy when people look at you and they think they're just the more mature one. And you're like, okay, but are you – I always do this. I do this chat room on this one site I work for. It's called Oranum, O R U-M, oh, did I spell that right? O-R-A-N-U-M.com. You should check it out, Oranum. You actually see the psychic you're working with. You get to talk to him and chat in a free chat room before you decide to get a reading. And I've had people come in the room and say crazy things. And I was sitting there, people come in and say, you look bored. I said, don't come in here with your perceptions of your bored life and think I'm bored when I'm actually sitting here doing what I love to do and I'm working at home. So I'm pretty content and relaxed. That's the different thing about it. So, you know, so it's like when they say things, what I do is I say, okay, they get kind of belligerent sometimes and they go, well, you know, you're a meme. I said, okay, fine. If I'm a meme, then what am I reflecting back at you about yourself? They have a tendency to change their tune pretty quick and say, well, you know, so we all know about reflections. We're just not listening and watching. So when you have your situations, you should do the exact same thing. If I'm immature or I don't know what I'm talking about, what am I reflecting back at you about yourself right now?
The main people who do that to me wouldn't care. So.
Yeah, but see, the point is, it's like a lawyer going into a courtroom. There are certain things he can't say to the jury, but he does anyway because he knows it's going to affect the outcome. No matter what, no matter if the judge says, wipe it from the records. Okay,
right.
You can wipe it from the records, but you can't wipe it from those people's memories.
That's true.
You speak your mind, every time you speak your mind, those people hear what you say. So it's very crucial to be straightforward and honest with them. Because I've had a lot of people sit there and go, they didn't like me at the time. But they have the tendency to come back and say, you know something, I'm really sorry, because you were right. Okay, so you have to. Well, when you're put in a position to say certain things, people are considering have a tendency to justify by saying, well, maybe I shouldn't say it's going to hurt their feelings, not realizing the hurt they're going to experience is what they brought on themselves by not listening.
Okay.
It's like us getting hurt. Ooh, I got hurt because I had a notion. It told me that something about the situation was just like that, and then it was a realization. You know?
Yes.
The idea of realizing how a person does care about you, does love you, but has a tendency in the process of not facing their fears, they have a tendency to act out of context or out of character and hurt you in the process of protecting themselves. So they didn't do it intentionally. They were just in a mode to say, okay, these emotions and feelings are getting too intense. So they go right into defense mode to protect themselves. And then you didn't listen when you should have backed off and you pushed it. Because there's a lot of people right now, I had a particular situation I was going through too, and I was just like, you know, if you're in a situation in a relationship with somebody or in the beginning stages or friends that's going somewhere and then someone decides to put the brakes on and denounce the whole thing, keep pushing it and keep making yourself present to them all the time. They've already become rebellious to you. They're already denying how they feel about you. Don't you think that if you continue to do so, all they're going to do is keep getting pushed further apart because they're going to keep pulling away from you because they don't want to deal with it. It's not until you decide to take the challenging, which I say challenging, because when you sit here and look at the situation and go, okay, what should I do? The easiest answer and the easiest question you should ask is what's best for me? Because if these people are doing this, all they're going to keep doing in the process of their defense is keep hurting you.
Right.
So the best thing to do in those situations is speak your mind on how you felt, but you don't need to keep doing it every time because you already know. So the realization for you is, okay, is this person really hurting you, or is it you not listening to yourself and your guidance to go pull yourself away from the situation to keep them hurting you so that the hurt is really self-inflicted?
Okay.
And even if they pull away from you and don't want to sit there and accept what's going on, they're only punishing themselves too because they're keeping themselves from where they really want to be at because the excuses they created were excuses to justify what they're doing, which means they really want to be there. But the fear is making them act a certain way because I guess you say the fear and then the ego behind it saying, yes, this is the best thing to do because, you know, you don't... go ahead.
I totally understand that and I completely agree and I think I've been trying to figure out what my next move is with that, because it's somebody that, the person now is somebody I'm related to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, you know, they're always in
That's
my
true.
Life.
I understand what you're saying, but see, just because you're related to people, it's the idea of realizing by their actions, if you no longer continue to associate with them, it's because of their actions, not yours. You're making a decision because of what they're doing. So it's, you can either keep yourself in a situation and continue to get hurt, or you can walk away, because every time you walk away from these situations, that's when the realizations happen. And realizations happen when we're not in their faces, when we're not there, because they start looking at the situations, because those relationships still had good sides. And when you're not there anymore, they start thinking about the silence. When that silence or that empty space is where you used to occupy. So then they start thinking about that, and they start thinking about you. And then the idea of realizations happen, so where they start changing their attitude, their perceptions. So therefore, when they interact, 9 out of 10 times you get a better connection where they have a tendency to apologize. My friend just went through this too, where she was like, I don't want to, you know, I told her basically just leave it, you know, cut it loose, leave it alone. And sure enough, the guy started calling her up and started apologizing, saying it was his fault and he should have never done this and that kind of stuff. And it's, I said, see? She's like, you're good. You know, but it was like, I was looking at her saying, but see, sure, I'm great, and I really strive to do that, because my biggest thing is I know for a fact that she was a loving, caring person, so she's going to keep basically telling this person how much she loves him and how much she cares about them, because she thinks it's going to make a difference, okay? But the problem is, it's not the ideal of how she loves him and cares about him. It's the ideal that, she's in a fear mode too. The reason she needed to walk away, because her fear kept on telling her she had to do something. Action that she had to constantly do. And the process of that action, she kept on pushing him away, where he was constantly in denial, and he was constantly telling her she was wrong, and he was constantly hurting her. Okay? In the process of the situation, he actually acquired another relationship, because he couldn't deal with it no longer, because of everything he said wasn't working. So therefore, he decided to do something physical. So he actually hooked up with somebody else. Okay, but we look at the situation, there's a good chance he would have never hooked up with that relationship if she would have walked away when she's supposed to, and there would have been a different outcome with both of them being together. But now he's gotten to the point where his negative thinking keeps creating negative answers for him and scenarios and situations, which they went from being in a bad relationship to going back to jail. And then the idea, it's kind of funny if people do this too, I'm going to be here forever. Like, yeah. Keep saying that one, you know? So the other thing that's kind of crazy, we have no control over certain things. I say the different, because I sit there and been in this situation. That's why I do that. I was actually in jail once. It was kind of funny. I hadn't paid a fine, and I went to jail. And everybody was like, oh, you had this, like, 6-month sentence on that. And then you pleaded out the 10, right? So they were saying, well, since you didn't pay the fine, now you're going to go back and you're going to have to do that whole sentence. I said, no, I'm not. They go, well, that's the way it works. I'm sorry. Not my freaking reality. I said, I'm going to sit my fine out, which is going to be 3 days, and I'll be out here on Thursday. They said, okay. I said, yeah, okay. We'll see you on Thursday, won't we? So I was kind of funny. I was in jail doing readings with playing cards. So I said, they don't believe me. I'm going to leave on Thursday, but they're coming to me for readings. I thought it was But on Thursday comes out, right? It starts off with a negative day. There was tape over my vent. Now the lady, it was a woman guard, and she came in. I think she was trying to prove something to the world that day. She comes in, she goes, there's tape on your vent. You're going to get locked, and you didn't make your bed. Bed. You ever been to jail? It's not a bed. It's a mat, okay? what's wrong with this lady, you know? But I was sitting there like, that's going, that's okay. And then she asked me, she goes, you don't have a plastic tote. Why don't you have a plastic tote? And, well, they didn't give me one. Why didn't they give me one? There are certain answers I don't have, you know. So I was sitting there going, interesting. And it's amazing when you get surprises, right? So she radios over to the freaking tower and says, okay, this guy doesn't have a blue tote, and he's a blue tote. So therefore, I need one. And they said, nope. Don't worry about it. And she goes, why? Because he's leaving. He's out of here. And everybody's jaws dropped in the freaking, in that little walking, boom. And they're like, he's leaving on Thursday? I told you guys, I'm leaving out of here. Your intentions will get you everything you want, no matter what society tells you. I've actually gotten my driver's license in Florida. That was so funny. I walk in, and the only thing I said was, I'm walking in here, and I'm getting my license, and I'm walking out. My license had, I thought at the time, my license had been expired for 3 years. First thing I told people to think about this miracle was, when I walked in the motor vehicles, I should have had to go through the whole process to get my license because they had been expired for 3 years. I walk in, talk to the lady, tell her what's up, want to get my license, didn't have time to get them renewed, that kind of thing.
Okay.
She looks at me, she goes, you sure they're not revoked? I said, nope, they're expired. So I just want to come in here and get my license and get out of here. I kept on saying this over, too. I want my license. Next thing you know, she looks at me. She goes, okay, stand by the screen. I said, stand by the screen. She goes, yeah, take your picture for your license. Okay. So I walk over, take my picture, walk out my driver's license, right? Everybody's looking at me going, how'd you do that? Who cares? I got my driver's
right.
I go back to Ohio because I got my license in Florida. I go back to Ohio, right? And I found out my license had been revoked for 6 years. And I'm like, how'd that happen? The only thing I can trace it back to was I put the intention out there. That's what I wanted to do that day, and it's exactly what happened. So when you start seeing things like that happening, it's the idea of taking the same perception to also do the same thing with relationships, of putting your intentions out there. I just had a situation where I was telling people about my miracle shop. I had this shop here in Colorado, and when I first came back here in March, I wanted to get this shop back because I had it before. Well, they told me at that moment, you can't get that shop back because the city doesn't recognize it as a retail space anymore. Okay, so you're looking at a situation that's an impossibility.
Right.
Well, I have that shop right now. So that impossibility became a reality, and I just got it 3 weeks ago. So, you know, what the common denominator there was, they told me what they said. I remember when I walked away, I want that shop. That is my shop. And forgot all about it. I just let it go.
I don't have that blame capacity yet. Like, I'm one of those people who will think it and then go, oh, that can't happen. And I go, no, so be positive. Like, but that's impossible because da-da-da-da.
We'll tell you some stories all night until you get it.
I mean, I completely agree, and I try to make myself think that specific way, but it's like, embedded in my brain that, you know, I always have this little negative thought behind it.
Well, everybody has that capacity to manifest about anything until it gets to relationships. That's when they start altering and going, ooh. You know, it's one of those things that you try to tell people all the time. Okay, here's a situation that you really want. And you have to tell them flat out, the reason you won't let this go because there's a fear that you won't get it. That's why it's so important to detach and let it go, so therefore the universe can basically give you what you want. But it's not until the point you let go of it. That's what I was saying before. It's the idea of looking at a point and saying, don't be lonely. Just look at yourself and say, oh, you can really be content being by yourself. Because once you get to that point of being content being by yourself, you're going to find someone else the same way, who's content with themselves as much as you are. So therefore, you can have this great relationship. Or you can look at it like this, you know, love yourself unconditionally, completely, fully. And then you're going to what? Attract another person who's doing the same thing, who's also loving themselves unconditionally. Now, some people say, well, this is two selfish people. You cannot share something you have within yourself. Okay, so it's actually two people who love themselves who can actually share that love with themselves, each other. So it's basically we got this great thing within ourselves that we want to share. That's the point of helping people understand to self-appreciation, self-acceptance, self-love is not being selfish. It's the idea of realizing who you are. So when you attract a person to your life, you know who they are by knowing who you are.
Well, can I ask you a question about this particular situation that I'm in?
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sis, go ahead and ask the question. I'm joking with you.
I have a problem, I think, letting this person go because I'm kind of, I need them for things right now. And
okay.
So I feel that if I move, it will help me distance myself from that, and I won't have a choice but to find another way to do it. But I don't think that I'll be able to move anytime soon. And I'm trying, but it's not working right now.
Okay. Well, if you look at the situation, the reason you're not moving is because you still feel like you need to stay there for the needs you're getting from him. It is a him, right?
It's my mother, but she has a really masculine personality. So.
It's like this, sweetie. What you need to do is you look at the situation, right? You look at the needs that are being supplied by this person, and you start taking each one of those needs and figure out how you can take care of those needs yourself. And then next year you're going to find out that's what we call true independence, because you found solutions that you can take care of yourself. You also realize you can't take care of yourself. And in the process of doing those, in doing those little things, of finding those things, you also build a foundation within yourself. If it's going to happen overnight, it can happen overnight. I will sit there and say that, guys, because manifestations are like this. It happens according to your perception. Okay? So if your perception says to get a house is going to take 6 months, then if you want to have that house quicker, you got to change that perception. And it says, I can manifest things I want to anytime I want. And then you'll start seeing things happen quicker because your perception has changed. Your perception can either be a brick wall or a curtain. Okay, a brick wall usually presents itself as something that can't be conquered. A curtain simply is taking and pushing back the veil. There's your life. It's the same thing with a brick wall. But even a brick wall, there are sometimes when you take a step back from that brick wall, you start realizing it doesn't go into infinity. There is a solution. And this is kind of funny because people take a step back and go, wow, there's a side and there's a top, and you can even dig under if you want. But see, those are physical things that you might not have to do. It's the idea of taking a couple more steps back to realize what you're actually looking at. There's a curtain that resembles itself as a brick. But see, what I'm saying is when you look at these situations you're talking about, the needs that are being supplied to you, it's like my mom did this. My mom one time actually told me if I slammed the car door one more time, she said, you're going to walk home. And realistically, that was a learning experience for me because I slammed the door. And she made me walk 5 miles home. But you see in that process, what she told me was, I found a solution that no matter where I was at, my feet would take me wherever I wanted.
Right.
Okay? So when you start to realize that, and just take, what you should do is you should take one little thing to manifest it. It would actually change your perception to help put you in a position, okay, what can I do next? Not looking at your limitations. So it's the idea. Some people want to sit here and go, okay, I want to change my mom's attitude. Okay, let's try something different. You know? You can't realistically, I mean, you can put an intentions out there, and the intentions would probably be your mom reflects you. And she also reflects how you feel about yourself. Okay, your mom is in a situation where she feels like she needs to take care of everybody. She needs to supply everybody's needs. What it reflects back at you about yourself is that you can do those things for yourself. It's just the idea of taking the steps to do so. And your mom's very abusive in some ways with the way she has a tendency to verbally.
Right.
You know, you sit and look at the situation and say, okay, the only reason I'm getting that kind of verbal abuse is because I'm allowing it to. So therefore, we take it one step further. We say, okay, now it's time to start solving those needs and start supplying them myself and the solutions and get away from the situation so I don't have to put up with this abuse anymore. I guarantee you, once you sever ties with your mom and you're no longer in her face anymore, I get the impression she's going to kind of a little bit of a realization herself of what she has been doing.
I do too, but she just moved, like, across the street from me. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is way too close.
That is too close, but no solution, okay? It's like there was a story that was said, people always justifying why you need to lie, and I have a tendency to knock them down. Because I was sitting there going, okay, what's your story? And I go, there's always the same story, too. Guy's beating his wife next door. She runs to your house. You hide her in the closet. And then their ending of the story says, when the guy comes to your door, you got to lie to him. Because
right.
You don't want him to come in the house and kill her. And I say, if a guy is threatening to kill his wife and you got her hidden in your closet, why would you answer the door?
Right.
Why would you answer the door? And I said, so you see, in every situation, we have a choice. We can answer the door and probably get shot, too. Or we can sit there and say, my house, I have a choice. I don't have to answer the door. And realistically, people actually have a tendency to justify by saying, if I don't answer the door, I'm being rude. And rudeness and having that kind of perception is going to put you in a position to get hurt. Because you're not listening to yourself. That says no. You know, or same, I've had people call me up and say, why don't you answer my phone call? I called your cell. It was the idea of taking some time for myself. So, see, I wasn't ignoring them.
Right.
It's a different thing. I was taking care of myself. I can't deal with people. And I knew I couldn't deal with people. So, therefore, I was actually in a position of actually trying to protect them because I know for a fact that when I'm in that kind of a mood, I have a tendency to tell everybody how I feel. So, you know, we're trying to be nice. Take some time for ourselves, reflect, to get ourselves in a good way. So therefore, when we interact with people, it's a good outcome. Okay, we can do this with anything, any kind of relationship. And in your situation, you guys don't live together. So it's the ideal that some people would think not answering the door and your mom comes over is being rude, when actually it's protecting oneself and saying I can't deal with her today. Okay, so you sit there and you take the situations you have, okay? That's a solution that says, okay, mom's coming over today. I know how she's going to be, and I don't want to deal with that. So you ask yourself, okay, what's best for me? And it's the idea of no interaction, so you don't. Now, she's going to see it differently because she doesn't think you have the right to do that. But at that time, all she's thinking about is what she wants.
Exactly.
Quite a bit. So you see the reflection back at you about yourself is, you need to do the same. And she's.
I do feel that. I just. It's an everyday. Like, I get tired of fighting with it, you know? Like, I think that's the thing that bothers me. I get tired of it being all the time. It's not just like once or twice a week. It's a couple of times a day. She's calling or she's knocking on the door. Or she's.
You got to learn how to set boundaries, even with your parents. See, that's another hard thing, too. People think, well, it's my parent. Aren't I being disrespectful? No. You're not being. You can still honor your mother and your father because they are who they are. But that doesn't mean you have to honor their actions. Because I've been myself, okay? I'll give you an example. My mom came to my house. I had a woman live with me. And we wasn't married. And she goes, I don't approve of this. And I said, if you don't approve of it, you can leave. And my mom was like, well, right? If I'm not mistaken, you're being rude because this is my house. And she goes, where'd you learn that from? You? Yes, you told me when I was younger that you're gonna do it my way or the highway, and this is my house and my rules. And when you get your own place, then you can make your own rules. And I guess what, Mom? My place, my rules. Get the hell out. And she was like, really? I said, well, if you want to be respectful of my home, you can stay. But if you can't, then you have to leave. But that's the consequences of your actions. I'm not really, you're teaching me one thing, now you're being contradicting.
Right.
Of course, I tell people all the time, I understand where you're coming from because it does take a lot of courage to put yourself in that position. But I guarantee you, once you do that with the major one there, the minor ones you have with other friends and stuff, you'll be able to stand up. Because the parents are the hardest one. Once you conquer that one, you can pretty much tell your friends to hit the road. And I've done that before. I've walked in my sister, who had a big old party in my house. I walk in the house, I'm sitting there going, you're putting your cigarettes out on my floor? And people go, what's wrong with that? I go, I got carpet. You know?
Wow.
I sit there and said, And what happened was, it was one of those things where I put things in perspective, okay? My sister can be a slut, but she's my sister, and I knew who she is, and this guy grabbed her. He actually grabbed her breast, and she said, "Leave me alone, and don't do that." Well, he says, "I can do whatever I want to, because you're basically this and this." And I said, I looked him right in the face, and I said, "You know something? My sister said, leave her alone." And I said, "Okay, I agree with you. Maybe she can be the biggest slut, but at this moment, she's telling you to leave her alone. And if you don't leave her alone, you're going to go." And he goes, what do you think you can do about it? Before he can get the statement out of his mouth, I had his arm above his freaking head, and I told his friend, I said, "Open the door." And his friend was like, "Why?" I said, "Because he's fixing to go through if you don't." And so he opened the door, we throw it out. Then I came back in the house, and someone gave a little smart remark, and I just said, "Fine." I just screamed at the top of my lungs, "Everybody get the hell out of my house." And I've never seen people run so fast in my life. But it's cool when you have certain actions and stuff that you have no problem following through with. People realize you're serious. And in the process of that seriousness, they respect you, and they run like hell. Well, in that particular situation. But what I'm saying is, you know what you got to do, and you got to do it. Okay? And you put it in perspective, and you do the whole thing. What your mom is going to find out is that you are being serious. And then she's going to get to a point where she's going to ask you, "Why are you doing that?" Which opens the door to where you can actually discuss to her what she's been doing. Now, if she's going to listen, don't know. But also the situation, if you stick to your guns of what you're doing in the first place of setting those boundaries, she will get the point that the reason that you're doing that is because of her actions and not yours. Your actions are just a follow-up to what she's been doing to you. Does that make sense?
I thank you for the reading. I won't take up any more of your time. I know there's people trying to call you.
I was going to say, with the situation, if you need some more help, I'd be glad to sit down with you and do a private reading with you to just check out the information. Give me a call, and if you have any more questions and stuff, catch us on Fridays and Saturdays. I'll be glad to help you out some more, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right, you have goodbye.
Bye now. Oh, sir. What the heck? I'm starting to look at some situations here, guys. All right, hold up. I'm trying to find my way back. All right, we have another person okay, take a deep breath. I have another person in queue.
Hello, good evening. Hello?
Here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
So what's up? Huh?
You're moving in and out. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. Well, I have a bit of a weird thing going on with this friend of mine.
And okay.
Sounds a little bit familiar on the topic of tonight, but I do some healing work with people, and yesterday, he's kind of a new friend, but we have similarities, so we click really well, but I'm not interested in a relationship, and so I took him for the first time to this event that I wanted to go to. It was a breathwork event. And he totally liked her, and he clicked with her, and he wanted to work with her. And I felt so bad because I'm doing the same thing, and he wants to invite her and do things with her. And I'm like, I can do exactly the same thing. And then I felt competitive with her, like, why her and why not me? And it felt really like an ugly place for me to go. I don't need to go there with my work, but it felt like weird, you know. It felt like imagine if I would do that to him, like a personal trainer, and then, oh my God, this personal trainer is amazing. Meanwhile, he's a personal trainer. Why would I go to someone else, you know? So it felt a little bit disappointing. And then today we didn't have a time set, but we were supposed to go to the movies or we had this plan to do something tonight, but he calls me at like 7:45 to say that he's still traveling and, you know, that he thought of me all day, and it just made me very, very upset. But I went out, did my thing, took care of myself, but I'm feeling a little bit weird in this place. And I spoke to him about it. I said, you know, I feel a little competitive, but you're not the one that's going to give me the job. God is, and you can do whatever you want. You can work with her or not. It's up to you, you know, no strings attached. It's like, I'm still your friend, you know. That's what I said, but the whole thing felt really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that it's weird, or is it like, what are you picking up? Or is there nothing going on? But
well, it's the ideal of your expectations. What do you want with the friendship? I feel like he's connecting with somebody else on a different level.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I guess when you set your focus on the guy, it's not like it's an insult to you. It's just he has a different connection with her.
Yeah, exactly. He has a different connection with her. They're similar cultures. They're both connecting. They're excited. But I'm like, oh, he's going to give her the opportunities that I could get it also. But he's, you know, there's that...
Mm-hmm.
There's that... that this upset around, you know, the...
That's true, too, but you got to look at the situation of focusing on the ideal missed opportunity.
When yeah.
It can be traced back to a fear and insecurity. So, you know, he just kind of brought that out, that you need to look at that situation, realizing that the opportunities and all the other things he can do for you, they're still going to happen, but maybe not through him.
Yeah.
He's being a little bit insensitive. He should take a step back and realize that you're uncomfortable with the situation. But he just keeps moving forward and forward. And I understand being caught up in the excitement of meeting somebody. And
yeah.
Yeah, the audio discussions and that kind of stuff too. Or he really wants to get to know that person. I think there should be a little more honesty about the whole thing, too. But I just feel like they have a different connection that has nothing to do with you. And I've been in the same situation, too, where people come to me for readings and stuff, and they meet somebody else I'd rather do readings with. It's best they say good luck and move on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think I need to lose my friendship over it. You know, I introduced him to another girlfriend of mine that... You know, maybe if it clicks, they can date together. I'm not interested in dating him. He likes to touch me, likes to hug me, whatever. But sometimes that's too much, too, for me. I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be hugged too much. You know? So I move away and giving him cues, you know. But I like him. Maybe there's nothing wrong with him.
I'm just saying with the situation, no more cues. Be direct. And say,
yeah.
Hey, you know, you do this. It means right that moment, it's not like I don't want to hug you or anything like that, but at that moment, I'm a little uncomfortable, so respect that boundary I put out there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think I'm a little bit, I feel a little bit pushed aside, like my work is less, not less, but I have to fight for, I don't know what it is, but it feels like it puts me in competition, and I don't want to compete. I really just want to be honored with my work and do my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to invite him to any more special events where he can say, oh, she's so good, and then what about me, you know? It's like, no, it just doesn't feel good to me, so I'm not going to invite him to other things anymore. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Friendship is one thing, but inviting him to my special meet event really disturbs my... There's an insensitivity towards my... I'm inviting him. He's my guest. And he doesn't understand that... I don't know. It doesn't feel good. It's like...
But there could be comparisons. When he sees these other people and how great they are, he should at least acknowledge something that contributes of you inviting him to this, to experience this.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't know if he's ever said thank you for actually allowing him to experience those things through you. That would help, I think.
I think so, too. I think it would at least acknowledge that I brought him there. I think he and her connected, like, immediately because they're same culture, and he immediately was, like, talking about his work with her, and it just, they just went off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's married. I mean, it's not like it's more for work. And I didn't really like it. I didn't like what was going on there. It seemed more like about what they could get from me, what he could get from the situation, than being there, experiencing it, and...
So what you're saying, in the process of your friendship, you feel like he is there at first because of you, to develop a friendship. But now you're seeing him with somebody else who has a tendency to be an opportunist, that you're thinking he's doing the same thing for you, you know, doing the same thing with you too as well.
I'm not sure if I get that, what you're saying.
You're seeing how he interacts with her.
Yes.
And you feel like he's only with her because what he can obtain from her.
Yeah, what he can bring to, yeah, what he can do with her, how he can use her for his place, or what kind of work they could do together, and things like that. Like, that's too weird for me. He doesn't even know her. He doesn't even... It's the first time he did breath work. Like, what's the rush? You know, why you look just... He just plunged into someone he doesn't even know, and it's... I'm bringing him there, and he's, like, fully... And it's... And that's his character, okay? There's nothing wrong with it, but...
I think there is.
I think there is, too. It's disrespecting being a guest and just taking a... bit less space, you know?
Well, I'm just saying, when you look at the situation, you're seeing him in a different light that you've never seen him before because of the way he's interacting with her.
Yeah.
As a person who's looking for opportunities, and he's basically connecting with this person because of what he can, what he can actually obtain from her.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, it seems like in some sense of the word, it's also tapping into your insecurities if he's doing the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Or has done the same thing to you.
Well, he's also very giving. It's like I've referred clients to him and he referred clients to me, but the client that he referred doesn't even want to pay the money that I'm supposed to be getting paid. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I said, okay, first session, fine, you can give me this and we can both see if it clicks. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go less than what I deserve. So the first time it will be this, but if you're willing to make a commitment, it's going to be that. I also have to rent a room, and it cost me a lot of time, and I studied very hard to get what I have, and I'm not going to give it for free.
Mm-hmm.
So there is...
I'm just saying, with the situation of asking yourself, how does he contribute to your life? Is it good or bad?
I felt so overwhelmed yesterday spending a whole day with him. It was nice in the beginning, and it's very positive. He seems to like me a lot, but I just don't get what the underlying intentions are. He's just looking for opportunities, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, opportunities to not use me, but just opportunities, you know, to advance. I don't really know. To be honest with you.
I will sit there and take the situation like this. Well, it seems like I've worked with some people who do the spiritual kind of work and that kind of stuff, have a tendency to not look at the reflection that's being reflected back at them from them, with him, or what it actually tells you about yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I get the most, is that you really need to look at the situation of what he reflects back at you about yourself. And I think once you start really observing that and looking at the situation, the answers are right there in front of you.
Competitiveness. He's creating this thing between two women competing over his so-called
he likes the attention.
Job. yeah, who gets the job first, her or me? And he's picking a stranger over me.
And he likes the attention of two women, actually, in some sense of the word, pawning over him. So you take a look at the situation of, in some sense of the word, I feel like there's two disrespects here, where he refers clients to you that he can't say no to, so he basically refers them to you to get rid of them. And that's why they always come to you in the process of saying, well, this is what I can pay, because it's what he's dealt with before, too. So instead of confronting those issues, he sends them to you. Also, with the situation of meeting this one friend of hers, there seems to be a little disrespect on that whole thing, not just towards you, but also she's married, and I don't see, because when we look at the situation, he already has a hard time with boundaries.
Yes.
Okay, so therefore with her, he's doing the same thing because she's married, and I think his expectations are not just the opportunities, but also to get laid.
Yeah, there was too much excitement between the two.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to go on to the other callers, but I'm just saying, focus on the reflection between the two of you and what it reflects back at you about him. And I think you'll see him in a different light and then take it from there, okay?
I am dealing with it right now. I'm dealing with it. It's very disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not putting me in the right place. He's not valuing me, and that's not okay with his behavior. He just likes to touch me and see what I'm about, but he doesn't show any value. You know, mm-hmm. value.
Okay, I'm just saying you should take a look at the reflection, how it reflects back at you about yourself, and ask yourself, I'm just saying, to ask yourself the same questions that you're saying about him that he's not doing, and ask those questions to yourself if you're doing the same thing for yourself, okay?
Okay.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
If you want to get a private session with me, I really would love to sit down and work with you, so just give me a call, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much for your time and your work.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for calling in the show. I really enjoy talking to you. And please, if you have any more problems and you want to contact us on the show, we'll be here again tomorrow. I'll be glad to sit down and talk to you, okay?
Oh, thank you. Appreciate very kind. Thank you. I'll be listening in.
All right. You have a good night.
Good night there.
Night. All right. Let's go on to our next caller, which is actually 229. Let's go on to 229. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hi, thank you. My name is Melvin. I'm doing fine, I guess.
How you doing, Melvin? All
right.
I'm sorry, I'm feeling pretty good right now, so we'll just go with the energy. If you need some energy, just take it with you.
Yeah.
Okay, Melvin, so what's happening with, where are you at? Where are you located in the world tonight?
I'm in Georgia.
Georgia? What are you doing in Georgia, man? You need to run. I'm sorry. But they got some great peaches, okay? They got some great peaches.
I do maybe need to run.
I'm just saying, I talked to some ladies who came to my shop tonight, and they were talking about how they escaped from Georgia. So I was like, okay, the references are not looking good. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, with the situation and that kind of stuff, I mean, the idea of relocating, it's not like it hasn't crossed your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So, what was I going to say? Well, tell us the question you called and asked. So we can come up with it.
Yeah, I just want to get just a little general reading of anything you can pick up on coming up for me.
Okay. Well, the first thing I pick up is the idea of I get the idea of relocating. But I also get the impression that you should kind of relax and let go of the situation and stuff like that. That the opportunities that you're looking for will come to you a whole lot smoother. Instead, you know, we have a tendency to dwell on things. We need to let go. I know sometimes we get caught up in the situation of saying certain things need our attention, not realizing they probably would actually be more solvable if we could actually take a walk and step back from them for a minute. It's the idea of learning how to have balance between doing and being.
Right.
And realize that the doing part is the physical part that we put out there, but the being part is actually when the manifestations happen, in the process of being, we can actually see them and actually take and accept, and we'll accept them. You know, when you get an opportunity, we're able to look at them in a confident way and confidently accept them. But sometimes we get so caught in the doing part, we have a tendency to miss things. Melvin, have you called before?
Maybe a long time ago, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was trying to focus on some things where I was picking up a person who was self-employed.
Self-employed?
Uh-huh.
Well, I've been thinking about, you know, trying to find me a grant to open up me a sports store or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What I would do with a situation like that is I would definitely follow through with it. Because I would sit there and say, I get one card that says clairaudient, which is the ideal spiritual hearing and the ideal listening to guidance. But guidance has a tendency to come, you can hear voices that talk to you or promptings that say, hey, you should do this, or ideals. You're saying, oh, I got an ideal, do this. That's guidance. Also, you can also hear from other people too.
Yeah.
Right. So when you start hearing certain things over and over again, say, like you, like I heard, there was one about a relationship I was talking about where I kept on seeing 14 over and over again. Even to the point where I walked into a store to buy some cookies, and the lady said, your total will be 14. Oh, she goes, I'm sorry, 4. I'm sitting there going, okay, now I'm hearing 14. So you hear these things, but I don't think it's our job really to keep listening to them. It's to accept it, that something's about to happen, and to actually let down a resistance, which could be prolonging everything. So you got these ideals and stuff like that to actually start a business, and even ideals what you really want to do, and it even seems like what you're focusing on is what you would love to do. There's something about that that you like, which it would actually put you in a position of being very successful.
Yeah.
It's just that there's fears because of what's going on in the world right now, that you should also take those and push them to the side too. For example, Allstate Insurance.
Right.
That company was actually started in depression, and now it's one of the biggest insurance companies out there. And you can see that sometimes when people look at situations and go, okay, this is a bad time to start a business, when actually it's the best time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just the ideal of sitting down, focusing and working with your angels and guides and listening and say, okay, this is what I want to do, and I would like your intervention, so therefore I can be successful of not just following through and starting that business, but also being successful with that business. And then just kind of like let it go, and then open your mind, let down the resistance to things that come to you, because a lot of things like that don't come to you. And we're always looking for miracles, and people don't realize miracles don't always happen in the way we think they're going to happen. That's why they call miracles, because they have a great positive outcome to them. But it's us changing our perception to being more positive, which means we need to let go of it and have faith. And then you'll start seeing things that happen. Because we were talking about earlier, I don't know if you listened earlier, but we were talking about a shop I had where back in March I wanted to get this shop back that I had before. Well, I was informed at that moment that the city didn't recognize it as a retail space anymore, so I can never get it back. Well, I've been working in that shop for the last 3 weeks. So, see.
Did you see any improvement on my finances?
Improvement seems like there. Gosh, you have a fluctuation through because of your perception, man. That the next couple of months could be good but bad.
Good but bad?
Yeah, because it's the ideal of your heart. Not saying you're going to have a heart attack, okay? What I'm saying is you seem to be a really kind-hearted person.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a tendency to open open up to other people, and your perception is to help other people. Okay, and so therefore you have a tendency to put your stuff on the side.
Yeah.
If you can take the situation, right, and put it in a really strong perception of what's best for you, it will also be great for them too. They just don't realize it. It's hard to say no to people, but sometimes it's the best thing to do.
Right.
Like my brother, he's always asking me for beer, you know. If you keep giving it to him because you feel sorry for him, all you're doing is enabling him to keep doing the same thing over again. that day you say no, you actually helped him out more than you think.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Because I had this friend that was staying with me, and she left me and moved out and told me to delete her number and all that. Do you see her coming back, moving back in anytime soon, or coming over? You said now and getting things straightened out.
Mm-hmm. I get the impression she will, but you also have to look at her motive. But it's very important, because if she comes back in, if she hasn't changed anything about herself, because she seems like in some way she takes advantage of you.
She tried to. I won't let her. That's probably why she left.
But the point is, would you want her to come back? I know you care about her, right?
Yeah, I do. But she says that she don't care about me the way I care about her. Is that true?
No. She tries to emphasize it on too much. Like she's trying to convince you I don't care about you.
Why would she do that?
Because if she admits to herself that she cares about you, then she would try to use you.
Oh, okay. So it's motive.
That's her motive, yeah. It's like, I want to use you, so I can't let my feelings get in the way of what I want, need, desire, not realizing that those things that she really wants, needs, and desire, they're all worldly things. And what she could really have with you is what she really is looking for. But what I'm saying is, when she comes back, she's still in a process of going back and forth. So more than likely, from what I can see, you'd have the same outcome.
So when would she contact me to move back in? Will it be before Thanksgiving?
Well, it keeps saying before the holidays. And I keep getting that she looked for something to happen in the next 2 weeks. It actually says 8 to 10 days. The longest is 2 weeks. So there's a good possibility for some reason with the holidays and Thanksgiving and stuff that I get the impression you will hear from her. And the idea of the notion of wanting to move back in.
What she's looking for, to happen?
I think she actually wants a real relationship.
She's trying to see somebody else to see how that's going to go?
I think she's just distancing herself from the situation because she can't deal with her own feelings.
She can't do what now?
I get the impression she can't really distance herself from how she really feels. So she distanced herself from you. So it's like it doesn't matter how she did it. That's what she's doing it for.
Right.
We always got to do you want some
help?
I'm just saying. People have a weird way of looking at things and dealing with stuff when they should be looking at how they really feel compared to what they're in. Because I was looking at the situation, and when you center focus on the woman, like I said before, I still feel like she has feelings for you. That's where she wants to be at. It doesn't matter if she's in a relationship or not. She's not being honest with herself. That's why she would even be in a relationship with somebody else. Because more than likely, there's not really that emotional tie or connection. So therefore, they can deal with it.
Would the light bulb come on her, mind to wake up and say, okay, it's a real good guy. I want to try this, to be with him, with me.
Well, what comes to me is it does say eventually. Whew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's one of those situations where, I keep getting the impression with this situation that feelings won't be denied. They will come to the surface. It's like when you start getting those things like she was talking about before, where it's the ideal of how she's treating you and all that kind of stuff to justify and say, something? If I'm doing this to this man and all this kind of stuff, then I can't have those feelings. See, it's justification to suppress feelings that she really does have.
Right.
So she goes into a different direction instead of admitting that when she's with you, it's a whole lot better experience. I guess it's one of those things where if a person has a tough time being a using person, it's because they care about you.
Okay.
It's just that they have to come to that realization too and say, okay, the reason you were using people in the first place is because of a lack of worth you thought about yourself. And when she's with you, she has a different perception where she feels more worthy. You know, she's still trying to hang on to her bad habits.
She has bad habits, like with any kind of drugs or anything.
Personally, I think she has more of a bad, more of addiction to guys in some sense of the word than she does drugs. I'm not saying she's not there, but the drugs would also be one of those things that would be understandable too if someone's suppressing their feelings.
She has addiction with who now?
Men. It's like, yeah, it's like a guy, it's like using people. I said, well, I guess I would say more of an addiction of using people, that she needs to break that addiction to realize she doesn't need to do that. It's like when people take drugs, they feel like they're not worthy.
Right.
So they take the drugs to compensate that feeling.
So that she's what, like using having sex or being a nipple? That's what she does, like going around just using people because it's an addiction to her? She can do it?
Yeah, it's also another, a person who's scared of commitment. So therefore, when she uses people, there's a bad outcome. They always have a tendency to get rid of her or push her away, or she actually has a tendency to exit herself. So see, it helps her. It's just the idea of justifying what she's doing. That's why I can't get close to people. That's why I can commit because I'm a bad person.
Yeah. But with one day she would sit down and say, Melvin, I love you. And I want to be with you. Would she ever say that to me?
Yes. Because I had the same thing, too. I had a girl who sat there and told me all kinds of stuff, and some sense that we're using and that kind of stuff. Even told me she would never fall in love with me. And then one day, she looked at me and said, I want to get married because I love you. And I'm like, okay. It will floor you then.
I mean, she told me that she would never be with me. I would never have her. I'm not her type. That I need to find somebody else.
Of course, because she doesn't want to confront. The more she pushes you in a different direction, the more she doesn't have to deal with you. But see, the problem with that is, with the distancing herself from you, and not seeing you, has actually made her think about it's just put her in a position where she thinks about it, okay? Because she was definitely denouncing that by saying those things. She's trying to get... Anytime someone tries to convince you of something...
Right.
Those are excuses. And I have a tendency to speak my mind saying, you know, hey, why are you trying to convince me of something I don't see?
Right.
But some of us have a tendency to go, or just kind of baffled looking at them, going, okay... Why would they do that for? It's just the idea of sitting back and looking at the situation and trusting what you felt, what you know is true, to realize their actions is a person who's trying, they're double-stepping backwards and trying to get away from you because what you know is true, and they don't want to admit it. It'll drive you crazy, man. That's what I'm saying. In situations like this, the best thing to do is just completely let it go and don't be surprised if they come knock on your door, because usually what happens when they make that... When they make that action to come knocking on your door, they've made a effort to come to you, and that's what they need to do. Because they've been pushing themselves, they've been pushing you away, and they've been running away. The only way you can correct a situation like this is they need to run back. And you have to allow that to happen. Or because of the mistrust, you're going to be questioning that. If they came back because they really wanted to or because you did something. So therefore, if you don't do anything, it's the idea you're trusting that when you were together, it was what it was.
Right. So basically you're saying I really need to just basically back off and just let her go through this little process she's going through, and my bell will ring or my phone will ring.
Yeah. You need to live your life. You need to focus on your priorities. You need to focus on the things that you should be focusing on. Instead of focusing, and then you're going to, when you start doing that, when you start really focusing on your goals, your priorities, you and that kind of stuff, that's your focus is somewhere else. So it's easy to detach because you're not really making an effort to detach. You're just living your life, and you don't realize in the process of just living your life, you detach from the situation.
Okay.
So it is easy.
When she do come back and into my life and asked me if she wanted to move back in, will this be a final move back in? Will we truly be together? Or is she going to go switching back and forth again? She going to take out?
Yes, she will. But see, the key is you need to let go of it completely and forget she ever existed. And then all of a sudden, I just get the impression the sooner you just let her go completely, the sooner she comes back.
Oh, wait, now you're saying that this will be her, she's going to bring all her things so she won't be leaving anymore. We definitely going to be together.
I'm not sure she'll bring everything with her, but I do feel like it's a process that everything will be there. It might take a couple. Yeah, so I don't think she can actually bring everything with her at one time.
But she won't never leave me again, will she?
If you allow this to where she comes back to you,
right?
I get the impression she won't. She won't. It's the idea. It's like this, Melvin. It's like a yes or no. You get the impression she won't, but you also have to learn from the situation. And learn her mannerisms, that when she has a tendency to do things, that you don't push. And then she won't. It's just the ideal of being bold and basically speaking your mind and getting her to sit down and talk about it instead of always denouncing and always saying, you don't know what you're talking about. When it's just calmly talk to her and get her to a point where she sits down and talks to you.
Right.
But I keep getting that she won't.
Right. Because the thing is, I've been trying... Because she's been hurting my heart and feelings and all that. And I've been trying desperately to, like, you know, get this woman out of my life completely. And all of a sudden, she'll pop back up.
Right.
And I did a phone number and all that. Because in July the 25th of this year, she texted me on Facebook and left a message and said she needed to talk to me. And I hadn't heard from her for about 7 or 8 months. And then that's when she...
meet you.
Back in, yes, sir. She moved back in, but she's been going in. She have left here. I mean, she have moved out 3 times. She came back, moved back.
One thing, I also take all obstacles that are between you, like Facebook and all those other things, and do away with them and do everything in interfacing. I'm just saying, it's going to happen again, but any kind of reply would be, okay, if you're serious, then it needs to be done in person.
Right.
In the next 2 weeks, you're going to have something happen, and not in the next 8 to 10 days, okay? I got some callers in the queue, but Mel, I'd love to sit down and work with you and do a private session.
Oh, yeah, I will. I would love to do that because I really need to. I'm definitely trying to get back in school in January and out of finances. So I'm trying to find a grant where I can finish up. I only have 8 classes remaining, and I'm a senior. And that's what I'm trying to do, and it's been so stressful. My finances, that's why I asked you, did you see an improvement in my finances, any unexpected money or anything, because I really need to finish up this schooling, and I become a teacher. And I also, football, I want to get back on the football field next season.
Well, like I said, I feel like finances will get better, and I feel like the idea of being in football would be good. I get the impression, too. You keep talking about unexpected money, and I actually see 2 opportunities where it's going to happen in the next 2 months.
Whoa. In the next 2 months?
Yeah. That's what it comes to me. Well, if you want to sit down and do a private session, just give me a call. I'm pretty sure whatever you got with your budget, we can work with, okay?
Okay. Yes, sir. Your number is on your page, website?
If you want to, I can give it to you right now. It's just simply 740.
Just a minute. Let me get it.
Okay, no problem. Go ahead. Everybody else who's listening in, well, just give me the phone number and you can give me a call too. So Melvin's sitting here, and we're just going to give him a little minute here. No problem, Melvin. It's one of those situations where I feel like, you know, the reason I recommend private sessions is because it is a one-on-one thing, and there's no waiting for people in the queue to get to them too. So you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it's
740-8863.
Yeah, and if you want to call me on my private line, that number is actually a Colorado number, which is 719 8699.
Okay, Marvin, give me a call.
I'll
call you, sir.
Actually, anytime. You can call me on my cell phone anytime. I actually have my shop, even when I'm doing work, even when I'm doing readings in my shop. If you call me before I'm actually doing a reading, then I have a little sign where I say I'm in a reading, and I shut the door, and I can talk to you then, too.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
So, man. You're in California?
No, I'm in Colorado.
Oh, okay. So the time zone, because I was going to call you after the show, but it would probably be too late.
The best thing to do on that one, Marvin, is to call me tomorrow.
Okay, I will.
Okay?
Yes, sir. I'll call you tomorrow.
All right. All right, then.
Thank you very much, man. God bless. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Have a good night. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go into our next caller, and that is area code 661. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hey, man. How you doing? Bobby.
How am I doing? One of these days, I'm going to have a good answer for that question. And what did you say your name was?
Bobby.
And where are you calling from, Bobby?
Maryland.
Maryland.
Yep.
I used to live in Maryland.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Well, yeah, where was it? Oh, well.
But you're not there now.
That's true. I'm in Colorado where it's a whole lot happier.
Yeah, Maryland's a mess.
I used to live in Maryland for 8 years. I used to live in Montgomery Village. I used to live in Gaithersburg.
Yeah, me too.
And Rockville.
That's where I'm from, Montgomery County. Lived in Montgomery Village as well. Gaithersburg there.
Yeah, we used to live in Netflix place.
Oh, yeah.
Down by Lake Forest Mall.
Oh, okay. I lived up, what the heck was that development? I mean, can't even remember. It was all the way at the very end of Montgomery Village, past that swimming pool. I can't remember the name of it.
There's some crazy places down there, too. Rockville was kind of a crazy place. I used to live in this apartment complex on 355. I don't know what kind of neighborhood it was, but somebody had actually ran from Shady Grove Road. Next thing I know, my complex was surrounded by cruisers and helicopters.
Huh. Not usually that bad of a neighborhood over there, but maybe it's changed. I don't know. I haven't been over there in a long time. I'm more up north of Baltimore now. But.
Oh, are you? Yeah, I used to be like, I did grand jury duty in Baltimore.
So, now, that's a wild place.
That is. It smells bad, too. Anyway, that's my opinion, anyway. I think Baltimore is closer to the ocean. And I was just like, wow, this stinks.
Closer to the bay there. They cleaned it up, the Inner Harbor and all that stuff. It used to be really nasty a long, long time ago. But
well, that's good.
Yeah, they cleaned it all up, but...
I'm not coming back anyway. But
I don't blame you. Maybe I'll be leaving.
Well, my most unfavorite place was you're coming up 270 and you got to get off that off ramp to go to Bethesda. The last time I was there, it was still the same old freaking two-laner. And if you miss it, you got to go all the way down the road about 5 miles and come back up. On the other side, which actually had 4 lanes. That was that.
Yeah.
Okay, why can't you have the 4 lanes on that side? I mean, it is. I think when they designed it, they didn't realize it was going to expand like that, so it's in an awkward place. But and Bethesda's got its moments too. Got some nice clubs.
Yeah, those are everywhere though. You know, clubs
are
everywhere.
Yeah. So Bobby, what you calling in for to what we can help you with?
I'm just kind of curious, and you know, I'm just figure what the heck, man, something different, you know.
So
I noticed you were giving a lot of love advice there.
Well, we have a tendency to take our own personal lives and actually turn it around to help everybody else to how to understand what the hell just happened. Okay.
Yeah. Wish I knew.
Well, sometimes. The easiest way to look at situations is to realize the person that was in your life for a period of time was also a manifestation that you created as much as she manifested you.
Huh.
And when you look at the situation of how we reflect back at each other about ourselves, realistically, these people are physical manifestations of how we feel about ourselves. That's how we can try to understand the whole thing and look at the situation of how sometimes we get a little I can't stand this person, when it's the ideal that certain things about yourself you need to change. So it's a reflection that you're not really willing to accept about yourself.
Hmm.
Not saying they don't have actions, but those actions even have a tendency to give a little more detail about what the things we need to look at. It's like a lack of communication. Because I've had people sit there and go, we talk all the time. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I'm asking you, do you communicate? That's the ideal, telling each other exactly what you want, need, and desire, and not being scared about doing that. But a lot of people sit there and go, well, I think I did. Well, if you think you did, then you didn't. Or you would know. Like,
yeah.
Like the situation with your relationship.
What's that? Say again.
Okay, what kind of relationship you got going on?
I'm not really in a relationship, really, per se. I've been talking to this one girl for about 6 or 7 months, never met her. It was just online, and
mm-hmm.
you know, she's a really nice person and everything. But she's got
She's got an abused boyfriend?
No, she did. She was married and was abused, and then before that was even final, some old flame came back into her life and sweet-talked her. He was an alcoholic. He was abusing her even worse than the husband was. And then I think, I'm not 100% sure, but I think he might have raped her. And then,
When you look at a situation like that, of a woman who puts herself in those kind of situations, right? Those are still physical manifestations of how she feels about herself. Because she's attracting controlling men. Now, most controlling men, alcoholics, whatever they are, it's because the reason they try to control things on the surface is because of the lack of control they have within themselves.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
I find she's got some issues about control. That's definitely true. I mean, but it's more like she needs to have control or something.
Well, the point of the situation...
I mean, I got bad experiences with women, too. I actually had one poke me in the eye and steal money, cheat on me with half the town of Baltimore, practically. So I found
Did you ever
out
have somebody punch in the groin?
No, but I've been hit with a hockey puck in the balls, for lack of a better word.
Okay.
I played hockey and stuff. But, I mean, that girl that put me in the eye, she was raped when she was 4 years old by her own uncle repeatedly. And I was probably the only guy that ever gave her any respect, and she couldn't handle it. She really couldn't handle it.
Because she couldn't respect herself.
Yeah, she didn't respect herself. She really didn't. Nobody else did either. I was the only one.
A lot of good
it did me.
I'm just saying, the lack of respect for that woman, it began when she was younger, where she didn't have that respect for herself. So she's been attracting men accordingly. Okay, so she made a conscious effort and said, I want to attract something good into my life. And she did, but she couldn't change her own perception.
Yeah, she did. I'm literally the best thing ever happened to that girl. But that's history and stuff. I broke that off finally. I mean, I took it for too long, you know, because I cared about her and all that stuff. But I'm done with that. So,
What's the new one like? Because the old one realistically didn't respect herself, so she can't respect you. So therefore, you look at the situation and say, "Well, I need to break this off because she's not good for you, because she's not good for herself."
Right. Yeah, and that's what I finally did. Thank goodness. And this one, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it's kind of weird. I mean, she's in another state, and she wanted me to come out there and see her, and we were kind of like doing this dance, but I think she's scared, and I'm a little scared, and, you know, I really like her a lot. She has a lot of really great qualities. And
okay, so you're in Maryland. Where's she at?
out west, northwest, let's just put it that way.
That's no big deal, my friend. I mean, I've had two girlfriends that were in England. And the relationship itself was mostly on Skype.
Huh.
So I can identify with the situation, meeting people and having these things where you know for a fact that when we get really bold and say, hey, you know something, you don't know what you want? Of course you do, because you manifested this whole situation. You manifested me as much as I manifested you. So we use these things as leverage and say, okay, you know what you want. So therefore, just allow it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, she's out there in North Dakota.
North Dakota?
Yeah, man. Did I
say that loud? Anyway.
50 below, like 16 below, like last weekend or something. I'm like, hey, I'll come out there and freeze with you. I don't care.
I
don't know what's going to happen here. It's kind of like doing this little
dance
thing.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, you say you've been talking to each other on the internet?
Yeah.
Have you talked to each other on the phone?
Yeah. I mean, internet, well, I'm using Skype. That's, you know, that's what I mean.
Oh, so you've, so you've actually seen her, so she's...
Well, I haven't seen her, no. I've seen a picture of her. She's seen my pictures and whatever. But...
So you've been talking to her on Skype, but you haven't seen her? But you haven't seen her?
No, I haven't seen her. I don't have a video or nothing. She doesn't either that I know of, but if that's what you mean.
Before I would go anywhere, I would get video.
Yeah.
Just to, I'm just saying, you have a voice connection and that kind of stuff, but you need, I mean, just saying, make that initial visual connection before you go out there. Just, you know, you can see a lot of things with Skype. It's like when we have to look at the situations, the introduction of Skype actually gives us a chance to actually see mannerisms of people on the other side. People have body language and facial expressions, that kind of stuff. Most of those are spontaneous. You can't really change those. I mean, some people can make, you know, smirks and have a control of it, but there's things that we do bodily and facially that can't be controlled because they're all spontaneous. And once you can see those, you have a tendency to have a little more confidence with the situation. But seriously, I meet people on the internet. I used to meet people through the kind of work I do. And I would go see people. But it seemed like so I got to the point where I was like, okay, if you're serious about this whole scenario, then therefore, I think, I always tell them that. The last couple of times I've gone through this, I always say, well, you know, you should come here. I was planning on going to England. I will say that. I got my passport. And I saw the signs. But some people, you know, sometimes people have a tendency to pull the plug because of their own fears. But one thing you have to understand is, you know, you look at the fears itself. We sit here, I always tell people to focus on your angels and guides and tell yourself what you want to do. Do you want to go out there? Hello?
Yeah, I mean, do I want to?
Yes.
I mean, I would if I knew it was going to be good and it was going to be, you know, something solid where, you know, none of that stuff in the past happens again with this new person or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She was actually talking about, she was actually talking about coming back east to, like, set up, like, she's out there working pretty hard, making a ton of money, actually, but...
What did she do?
she has her own business, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, with the scenario that I see, I feel like she should come to you.
Yeah. Actually, she did mention that, like, last weekend, she was going to come out to Boston, I was going to drive up to Boston... and meet her, and she was going to get, like, a weekend place up in Cape Cod. And that way she can get out of her job and, get you know, have a weekend to go there. She can do that and all that stuff. And she wanted me to come and meet her up at the airport and drive her down to Cape Cod and help her find a place, help her find some wheels and all that stuff. And then she had a new contract out there, so she had to, like, postpone that for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever. So, I mean, I felt like that was kind of progress, and at least she was, like, you know, suggesting that, and also I felt like maybe the trust level was a little bit higher than before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she had a pretty much abused past, just like I did too. And it's just like, I don't know, I guess maybe we're both a little scared or whatever. But I mean, she is dear to me. She told me that I'm dear to her too. And you know, she's called me up, you know, and she's all upset, and you know, kind of pump her up and stuff, and you know, try to be good to her, try to, like, not be too hard on her heart at all, and whatever, you know, just try to be a gentleman.
But, right, you know. That's one thing that drives me crazy, some people, the idea of control.
I'm sorry?
Control.
Yeah.
Because when it comes to relationships, you shouldn't try to control them, and you shouldn't sit there and say, well, I'm going to take it slow, and don't put all this, put on my heart, okay? It's the idea of, like, going to work out. If you go to the gym and work out and you just kind of, like, do things because you're scared you're going to pull a muscle, you're never going to get anywhere because you're going to be on the same level the whole freaking time. And it actually hinders your progress. Same thing with relationships. If you don't, you can't sit there and say, well, any kind of denial is just denying oneself. So therefore, you got to take it easy in my heart. It's the ideal. There has to be in relationships, you have to have comfortability to be oneself.
Yeah.
If you can't be yourself with a situation, and you can express somebody and say, well, this is how I feel about you. Well, let them say, well, I don't know if I can handle this. The point is you manifested each other to confront that, to find the strength within those things. So therefore, if you don't go there, how can you find the strength?
Yeah,
like
I mean,
said, I'm just saying the situation I got, I pulled three cards for you. The first one was a six of water, so there is a lot of focusing here on romanticizing the past. Negative or positive, doesn't matter. You're still in the past. So it says you need to cut that loose. And then also the second card was the page of water, which is a page of cups where it talks about the ideal of listen to your intuition. You're sensitive. You're autistic. You're friendly. And those are very good traits, but it also shows it shows in some sense the ideal. It's more of a relationship that begins a new phase, but it's being hindered because of the fears. So it shows heightened psychic abilities that you should actually really pay attention to of the intuition you're getting here. But it also shows with the ego, which is the third card, the ideal of a false sense of entrapment, being overly focused, getting rid of negative and fearful based thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird about the intuition thing. Cause I actually she told me about this. Oh man, she had an issue with a computer or something, and she called me up. I hadn't talked to her for a couple of days, and then she told me she was getting a new computer. She was actually at the Best Buy or whatever it was, getting a new PC because there was a hard drive failed. And literally that morning or that night, I can't remember when I was asleep or what, but I was like standing there with her hard drive in my hand. And she was down sitting down at the desk, and her laptop was there. And I was like, either showing how to clone it or back it up or something, or install a new one. And I had no way of knowing she was having hard drive issues. I'm like, it freaked me out. And I told her about that. I goes, you want to hear something really weird? This morning I was thinking about it, or maybe it was last night, whenever. And she goes, I thought she was going to think that was bizarre too. And she goes, that makes perfect
yeah.
sense.
It's crazy synchronicity.
Yeah, and I was just like, wait a minute, I never knew I was, I don't think I'm psychic or nothing, but it was like, I don't know, it was weird, but I thought she was going to be freaked out about it, but she was like, well, that makes perfect sense.
Well,
and I hadn't even, I goes, how do you mean it makes perfect sense? I haven't even talked to you, I didn't even know anything about your hard drive issue.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember it clearly, just, wow. But mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen about this thing. I mean, you know, I don't know. But I like her. I do.
I
like her a lot.
Go with the whole thing, because people don't understand when there's connections made between two people, then things start having to have that synchronicity thing too, where you start, interacting on the same page. Doesn't matter where you're at. Connections are connections, and when they're made, they're made. And some people have a tendency to go, well, they talk about other connections they've had with other people. But usually in that process of even making that statement, they're probably denouncing the connection that you do have. And in this situation, it's really good because she's not. She's actually basically saying she's acknowledging it. So that's a positive thing that she's open to. So that's what I'm saying. The process of just go with the flow, see how it's going to play. Because I think it's one of those things that could be having a really good positive outcome, okay?
Say again, I'm sorry.
No, I feel like this is going to be a situation with a very good positive outcome to it.
Well, that's cool. I mean, because I do really, I like her. I mean, she's a good girl. She's not like some of the women I've been with in the past. And,
you asked for something new, right?
What's that?
I said you basically been focused with your intentions to the universe that you want something totally different than those. And I think it's the ideal, the situation of something that is manifesting now because of those intentions that you put out there.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I wouldn't be against going out there and being with her if she's, whatever develops.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've been talking about 7 months or so. And,
mm-hmm.
And
it's time. It's time for someone to do something here because it's, as a relationship counselor, I tell people to make these things happen as soon as possible because that physical connection between the two is crucially important, kind of seals the deal, and then it gives people something really substance to deal with and to understand it is real.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, it seems like it's going more in that direction because, like I said, I was going to go out there and we actually had a date.
Right.
I went out there on the 2nd and got postponed, and then talked about it last week, and then she was like, going to actually, said, well, I'll be going in the East Coast. Well, if you come in the East, just swing through here
come
and say
down.
Hey.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Swing through here and say hey, and then she said, well, you're anywhere near Boston. I said, well, not really.
Boston. Boston.
Yeah.
Boston and that traffic. I don't think I want to deal with that. But
yeah. But, you know, so she was like, well, meet me at the airport and pick me up at the airport and drive down to Cape Cod and find a place she was looking for and a car.
Well,
it's actually a good
scenario, isn't it? Because she's going to come to the East Coast. You don't have to go very far. And you guys are basically meeting in the middle on neutral ground. So,
right.
Then, of course, good for both of you. We can actually even take a moment and to, you know, kind of reconnect. Because what you've already been through at the airport, sitting down and, you know, I don't know, have some cocktails or have a dinner, you know, that kind of thing where you can do it right there before you go off and do your little thing.
Right.
But I would definitely do that. And I hate to scoot
yeah.
you down. I hate to scoot you on down because we got some other callers on the queue. But I'm just saying, with the situation, if you really wanted to sit down and do a private session with me, I'd love to do one, especially for a situation like this, because I've actually gone through this a couple of times myself.
Yeah, but I mean, you got a good feeling about it, huh?
Yes, I do.
That's cool. Yeah, all right, man. Well, I did take it as a positive that, you know, she was talking about coming back east and everything. So it's like it's moving a little forward. So.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's good because, yeah. she's coming back with things of her own, and she's willing to work on this where she can actually be a place where you guys can just interact with, and I will let that happen. Okay?
Right. All right, man. I don't want to take up all your time. I appreciate it, and I'll listen in and all that.
Okay, no problem. You have a great night, and thank you for calling in.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
You too. All right, let's go into our next caller. That's area code 406. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name?
Hello, Juanita.
Juanita, where are you calling from, Juanita? I don't recognize
you. Montana.
Montana. Now I do recognize it. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
well,
how can we help you tonight?
I've had a lot of things going on in the last year, and lately there's been a lot of things happening. And I'm just wondering kind of what your energies you're picking up around me, because I've got a lot of confusing things happening.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Montana?
Yep. Yeah.
So have you ever thought about moving? Anyway.
I just got here, yes. That was one of the big things that came up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about the whole thing. I said, okay, it's like one of those things where you get a certain freshness about it, but wanting to move. So don't be so bad about the whole thing. I've done some things where I moved to somebody, moved someplace a week later. I'm like, okay, this was a bad mistake.
Well, I was kind of forced here. I was kind of forced here. I lived here before. And
so
I live in Anaconda, which is a little town. Yeah.
Anaconda. Is it a town that'll bite you? Anyway.
It looks like a snake, yes.
Yeah.
And yes, it will. Yeah, there's a lot of odd things in this town. I know about it.
There's some odd people, too, huh?
Oh, yes.
So when you look at that situation, I can
see
why.
Yeah, I was kind of forced here.
I was kind of curious about that. You say you were kind of forced there. Just to hear the insights on that story.
Oh, my. Things were not going well in Arizona. Lost my car. Ended up getting really depressed again and sick. Had lost my job. Couldn't get another job. Was the apartment complex I lived in was being overrun and infested by everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go. And none of the kids down there really had a place that I could stay because they all live in apartments.
Right.
And my daughter lives here, and she said, Mom, come on back up.
Oh, really?
And I was kind of forced into it. Yeah, I was sick. I had to get out of there. There was nothing I could do.
So you say you were sick.
Yeah, really. I mean, just the being depressed and down and everything. Yeah.
Have you also had some bouts of pneumonia?
I'm sorry?
Have you also had some bouts of pneumonia?
I did when I was in the hospital about 7 years ago, yes.
It seems like since you've had that bout with pneumonia, it seems like you have a tendency to be really vulnerable to lung disease, lung ailments, let's put it that way. You don't take too well to new environments where you have trouble breathing. Does that make sense to you? You don't have to be in a situation where you're taking oxygen or you're
right.
having problems. I'm talking about, like, every once in a while since I moved to the mountains, I've had difficulty breathing. And before then, when I was in Ohio, I did have a couple of bouts with ammonia. And I have a bad habit of not taking medications.
Right, right. No, actually, they bruise my vocal cords. And do I have a problem really breathing? No. My problem with breathing is, when I get ready to go out or do something, I'll get really, I don't know, I've almost got like an agoraphobia at times. And I'll be holding my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's ice and snow, and I haven't been in it for 12 years, so I'm scared to death of
right.
walking. Yeah. That's kind of what that is. Although there may be more.
Right.
I said there may be more to it than I'm seeing.
Yes. I'm just saying what I saw, so therefore.
Okay.
Could be the ideal why a person would want to get away from Montana. Just because every once in a while there are certain things that come about, too. Or sometimes we get these intuitional things to do things before things do happen. So we have
right.
a tendency to have an actor actually seeing those things. To give you a little more input, why you should do what you got to do. Of course. It's crazy, I'm telling you. Sometimes it can drive you crazy.
I know. And that thing going, I have no idea where.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, when I was looking at the cards, and the cards are talking about the ideal of heightened psychic ability, which basically is the ideal of listening to oneself. Sometimes sometimes our intuition is heightened in the process of we know what's going to happen.
Right.
So our body has a tendency, in some sense, the way to spiritualize, to be more open. Okay, and the ideal of your anticipation that there's some kind of drawing to go someplace else, so you're wide open. So you would have this heightened psychic ability to say, okay, what should you do? And it's just the ideal listening. Because people always talk about, well, I don't have the money for this or that, da, 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 da. You know, it's like the idea of intentions has a tendency to supply all those things. But if we're going to sit here and dwell on one or the other, it can actually work against us. You know, people sit here and talk about, I want to get back with this person, but then they want to know everything about everything, not realizing the information they're looking for, if they're with another girlfriend or boyfriend, or what they're doing, their feelings and everything else could actually work against you on what you're trying to obtain for the outcome. So it's the idea of focusing on what do you want. That's what they say. What do you want? I want to be with this person, not just be with this person, but they want to live a life with them. So that's the outcome. Everything in between is not your business. It's the same thing with your one and two. It's like, okay, what's your intentions? Well, I would like to have, and sometimes you got to put it out there and just say, okay, I would like to be in a position or a place where I can feel more content, more peaceful, and actually accomplish what I want to do with my life.
And right.
And just allow the universe to actually manifest that. And then basically all you got to do is let it go, have confidence and faith, and say, okay, the universe takes care of me anyway. And then don't be surprised what happens. Because I've had the same conversation with people in businesses. Well, I don't have any money. Well, what's money got to do with it? If you can manifest a business, I guarantee you can manifest the opportunities to go with it and the people. To make it a success, make it happen. Because that's what we are. We can manifest anything we want. So when we put ourselves in these situations where, and if you sit here and talk about your situation too, you're sort of saying that you was in a vulnerable place where you didn't, how you felt about yourself, your worth was a little bit down. So therefore it put you in a situation that reflected that. Now you feel more confident, so you take that confidence in what's going on in your life right now, and you actually manifest exactly what you want. And see what happens. I still get freaked out about the whole thing, too, when I got this shop, because it was just an impossibility that came to reality where you just want to share with everybody and say, you should do this, because I just did this. of somebody telling me that I wouldn't get this shot, telling me it was an impossibility. And then guess what happened? I actually have it now.
Right.
And what we were saying was the opportunity to get this shop didn't cost me anything. To pay rent on the shop, okay, yeah, it cost me money to pay the rent. But the opportunity itself, it was funny too. I was just up there 3 weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, where I was just up there just having a good time. And I just noticed there's a for rent sign. And I was just like, whoa. I was kind of freaked out. I told my friend I would call her back. She goes, why? I said, I'll tell you when I call you back. I got to call this number, man. I got to call this number. I have a chance to get my old shop back. Like, seriously. And this place is actually right in the middle of town on the main street, in the middle of all these shops and stuff. It's really a fantastic spot. And to get it for what I got it for and to get it at all, when you sit there and look at the situation, you just want to relate to everybody else what they can actually do with their own lives and what they can actually have just by putting their intentions out there and just clarifying what they do want, need, and desire.
And so I've been working on manifesting. I'm a manifestor. I'm a psychic as well. I'm a
really?
Psychic medium, yes.
What do you
yes,
mean?
And yes, and I've been trying to get back into my work, but around here it's hard to do.
That's Manitou. I mean, Manitou. That's funny. That's like a fish in water, right?
Right.
It's like Manitou is a strange creature, but it does seem to get from point A to point B. It's motivational. No, I was sitting there thinking, too. And I was sitting there and focused on the ideal manifestation to prove to myself that I'm back and that I can do what I can do. I was sitting there manifest the ideal of your vocal cords that are bruised and manifest an incredible healing with the situation. Because anything that's bruised still has a lot of healing to do. But in the process of introducing energy into those areas of your body, you actually speed that up.
That's true.
I mean, I think it's kind of amazing with the body itself because it seems like it's even orchestrated to be and to heal itself.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But I'm just wondering now because I've been working on this very hard and trying to actually get on a psychic line again.
Mm-hmm.
And haven't had a lot of luck with some of them.
Why is that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
What I would do, sweetie, is like this. See everything play out the way it plays out. For example, I applied for California Psychics, Psychic Source, and what pissed me off the most, to be honest with you, was the idea of actually doing fantastic test readings, because I don't do test readings. When they said they're going to test me, I actually do a reading for the person.
Right, I do too. Right.
Yeah, so you do the reading for them. California Psychics, I went through two interviews and two readings, and both of them said they were very impressed. Did I ever get a job at those companies? No. And then,
exactly.
Yeah, but see, but what I'm getting to here is the things that I'm doing now. I work for this one that you might want to try. Now, the only difference about this one is you would actually have to have a webcam and a mic, but the site itself has been pretty phenomenal about certain goals that I've actually reached and broken. And for example, on random, my top is weeks. I made it my top 2 weeks because it's like a 2 week period, pay period time. I've actually made over $1,000.
Oh, wow. That's good.
And I didn't work all the freaking, I wasn't really on, because I was sitting there, and at first when I came on, I was working a lot of hours, and then I started playing with it to see how many hours I could work to still hit the same goals. But it was really cool, and we did the whole thing. I mean, sometimes it can be irritating, because how it works is you'll be on cam, and you're in a free chat setting, talking to people, and then they have to sit there and make their minds up they want to get a reading with you. What I do is just do like I do with this radio show. Talk about spiritual stuff. People come in, ask questions, and you're going, me personally, I only answer a yes or no question, one per person, and then they have to do the rest of it in private. And I tell them flat out, I said, if you ever come to my shop, I don't give test readings. And I tell them flat out, this is a great setting and you should appreciate it. And I have a tendency to be very bold and very straightforward with people too, and using the F word quite a bit. But that's another story. But it's just the ideal of telling people, you know something, you're going to come in a room and be an idiot. I always say like attracts like. So if you're going to say something to me, I'm going to say something back. And I don't always do that. But there are certain settings where I feel like I need to, just to show them that if you're going to put it out there, I have no problem speaking my mind. Plus, it's also the idea of what's really taught me a lot on a random is I do know what I'm doing, and I do know what I'm talking about. And that's what people come in the room and say, well, you're this and this. And I'm like, you know, first of all, if you're going to come in the room with an empty gun, mine's not, and I will come back firing, and they're not blanks. So therefore, you better be prepared for that. And it's like, you know, if you're going to say something and they're going to say something stupid about chakras and that kind of stuff or try to convince me you know what you're talking about, I've done the research, so I'm there, and so therefore you're going to hear it. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But then again, if you don't want to sit there and discuss anything, then keep your mouth shut. I had, for example, I had some guy come in the room and he said, so I guess you can't find a real job, huh? I said, okay, let me think about this for a minute. I make over $1,000 every 2 weeks. I don't want one. Okay? So therefore, if you don't like it and you want to sit and say something else, I also have a radio show. I work for two other lines, and this is all I do. I have my own apartment. I have a shop and all this other stuff. So they're going, I can think I'm doing pretty good. Now, if I could get the girlfriend thing. So if I ever had a question for you, it would be pretty much on relationship-wise. But that's only if you would be inclined to answer a question for me. I wouldn't want to put you in a situation. So I would sit there and say, hey, no pressure, no nothing like that. I'm just saying. That was the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, I wonder if she would answer a question for me. But I get the impression you are on the right track of what you're thinking. It's just what you're thinking. You need to take that thinking and just follow through with it. Because I think you got a lot of good ideas what you want to do. What I would do, let me give you the information for a random.
Okay.
And I actually have, if you want to, you can call me after we're done here, or I can give it to you now. It doesn't matter. So that was actually trying to find that one information. I can find it. Because I've actually transferred a lot of my stuff to my shop. So the idea of finding certain information, I have a funny feeling it's some of it's there. But a random's hard, easy to find. I've had so many people in this situation. Plus, what's so good about a random is it's actually an international company, so you'll have a lot of clients from all over the place. You have a chance to work with a lot of people in Australia, Ireland, England. I think I've actually talked to some people in India, Africa, South Africa. It's really cool. As long as you can sit there and sometimes just kind of like let things roll off your back, it'll be a cool. I have a tough time with that one myself. They actually tried to stop me from singing in free chat a couple nights. So what I did was I got angry, basically started getting pretty belligerent with my language because I was really appalled because I've been singing in the chat room for like a year. I've actually had people come in my chat room because they hear my singing. Or I'm humming or something. They said that it feels the vibration that I set off.
Right.
So relaxed. So they said, well, plus you're a good singer. You ever start about thinking about starting a band, all kind of stuff like that. So somebody in random, I think he just got hired is what it was. And he was trying to live by the rules. And I'm like, are you serious, dude? This is not my first radio. I've had businesses of my own, okay? And he was like, well, two people, he basically said, some people complained. What I picked up was two people complained that I was singing in chat. So I sit there and said, okay, so what you're going to do is you want to sit there and you want to deactivate my account. And I said, think about this. I made $1,000 for myself in 2 weeks. It was $1,089. They take 50% of what you do. So I actually made over $2,000 in 2 weeks. So I sit there and said, dude, these two people probably would have spent $20. And you're thinking, you want to deactivate me, who makes over $2,000, and most of that's yours? You're an idiot. you definitely have no idea about business, do you, my friend? And he was like, well, if you don't listen to me, it was more of a control issue, right? So what I did was I went back in my chat. I have a lot of regulars, right? And I'm glad I don't work for Psychic Source or California Psychics, because if I did, I wouldn't be able to do this, which is a little bit different. I think it's a better format. So I just sat there and said, I told everybody in the chat, they won't allow me to sing anymore. So why don't you guys all complain I can't sing? And I guess the uproar was so overwhelming, they haven't said anything since. And I've been singing my... I guess we need to learn to use things for ourselves and process what we want. So that's what I was saying. So I have this other company that you want to work for, you can. I was just trying to find the information. I'm trying to figure out what I did with it. I know it's here. It's a company called ZMC. And Karen's usually hiring all the time.
ZMC.
Let's ask. Remember what's called on the other side. Well, I mean, by the other side, right? On her, there's two. Usually when you have websites like this, there's usually two sides. The one we see as employers or employees.
Right.
Or just self-contractors. And then there's the other side, the clients, the customers see. They always seem to have two sides of the thing. Like on Ask Now, which is called Circle of Stars. On our side, it's called Circle of Stars. On their side, it's called Ask Now.
Oh, yeah, because that's who I'm looking at right now, Circle of Stars.
Say something? Think about that one. I work for them. You can make some money. But they got all these freaking things called, you have to have a call average. And if you don't keep it above, I think, 16 minutes average on your calls, then they'll basically take you off the line. So you always got to keep that. I mean, with a couple guys there, a couple people who work there, who will sit there telling me all this stuff. Well, we got to do this, shut up. Don't tell me something I don't know. I said, I'm a psychic, a real one. So therefore, all the thing you keep giving me is bullshit. I was sitting there talking to, I had this one, I guess they call them managers, that you work through for the company. And I was sitting there talking to her, and then she calls me and she goes, we're going to take you off the line because you gave out some personal information. I'm like, personal information? I said, the person I was talking to gave me their personal information. Get it right. She goes, I can let you listen to the phone call. I don't give a fuck. I am not stupid. I know exactly what I'm talking about. So don't try this with me. Okay? I know. I remember the conversation. I know what I said. So don't sit there and say, well, I can listen to a phone call. I also know those things can also be rigged up to basically play wherever you want. They can't be used against me either, only for training purposes. And she's like, I said, yeah, I do the research. I know exactly what you can and cannot do, so don't try it. And then she's like talking about this guy. I think her name was Rachel or something. She goes, well, Rachel's really good. She keeps him on the line as long as she wants to. I said, yeah, but she's a bullshitter. She can keep anybody on the freaking line. But it is it's a contradiction. Okay?
Right.
It's a contradiction on this particular psychic line, because it's like saying, basically what it's saying is, it's like, you're sitting there saying we have certified psychics, not certified bullshitters. Okay? So therefore, it's not the truth. You know? So I sit here and told her. I said, well, shoot, Rachel can keep them on the line. So once you rename the company from this to bullshittersorus.com. She goes, excuse me? I said, I think you heard exactly what I said. And you know something? Thank you for bringing this to my attention the way it is, because I really don't feel right working for this line. Because I've actually worked for a couple of lines for one reason is to basically bring some legitimacy to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I was sitting there going, man, this lady's nuts. Anyway, and then when I worked for him before, my manager was a drunk. I would sit there and call him. I would call him up and I said, hey, man. I can't tell you the guy's name. But I sit there and said, I didn't get my check. Well... And you could tell he was stoned out of his head. He said, I can't find my joints. I'm like, excuse me? I'm sure he was out of his knee, you know? So I was like, what the heck? 5 minutes. So I've never gone back to a certain company in a long time. But there are some... I've had other opportunities with other companies. So I started working for Random. I know I had that information.
And I worked for one that, the last one I worked for them, and it was doing fairly well. You know, they're not, I mean, they don't get a lot of calls anymore, but I was doing fairly well, and it went along, and when I moved, I was off the line, and I told them I'm going to be off the line because I'm going to have to move. And they told me, put me through this reading again, put me back through doing all the stuff again, and then told me that I wasn't eligible to be rehired because I had been off the line too long.
Really? A lot of controlling people in those situations, in those scenarios, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. No, because I was sitting looking at some things, and that, and just the craziness with everything that goes along with them. So you get pretty selective what you're willing to do and what you're not. And it's always one of those things I tell people, too, don't do something because you feel like you have to. Do it because you want to. You will definitely have a better outcome. Cheers. I can't find it, but I think if you contact me after the show, I think I get you an email so you can contact
on,
me. On a random, I could give you, random is just spelled ORAN as in Nancy, AN.com. You'll go there, a page of psychics will pop up. You go to clear to the bottom, you'll see where it says psychic sign in, psychic registration, and you go from there.
Okay. I'll try them. I haven't seen them pop up, but what number would I call you on?
Oh, sorry. You can call me after the show at 740. No, let's make it a home phone number, okay? 719.
Okay.
719-344-8699.
All right.
I better memorize this stuff, man, because this is like crazy. You know something? If I had a question, if I had two questions to ask you, it would be one about this shop. Because I had a friend of mine who was talking to me about the shop, and she was like saying I should spend more time on the other companies that I already have and not so much time with the shop. Now, my feelings on the whole thing is to balance it out.
I would think so.
Yeah, because my friend was saying she has a tendency to be illogical sometimes.
Where are you in Colorado?
Where I live. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I shouldn't ask you that.
Oh, no, that's
fine. I forgot. We're on the radio.
Oh, no, okay. Actually, we're trying to promote the radio. We're trying to promote the shop. So if you all...
there we go.
Yeah, if you're in the Colorado Springs area, if you come to 946.5, which is right next to the Flying Eagle in Manitou Springs, Colorado, you'll find my shop called Psychic Extreme.
Wow.
And we do our little thing going on. We're having a fun time, that kind of stuff. So, therefore, just join us. So, if you're in the area, just come on out. I love doing readings in person. If I could take everything I have now and funnel it into all that success into the shop and other things that kind of go with it, because I know it can't be just in the shop itself. It's the idea of things that kind of stem off that. And to do it all in person, that'd be great. I'd love that.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you have any impressions or anything like that?
Yes, I do. I do that. You know, see things, have impressions. I do medium work sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I use spirit guides. I just everything.
So
a little bit of everything.
So what's the situation in my shop? You know something, when I look at the shop, I see it as something as a beacon. So I see it as successful. And I know success has a tendency to be a different description for each individual. But it was one of those things, if you wouldn't mind, any kind of impressions you get with that. I did have a relationship question, but I'm kind of pondering on that. But if you don't, that's fine too.
Relationship. You in relationship. I don't think there's any... I don't feel anyone that close.
Well, right now I'm not in one. I did have a situation with a particular woman who I keep hearing her name a lot. And I will sit here and say I hear her name quite a bit. I was sitting here telling my friend the other day. And I said, it was kind of funny. I was sitting here with this shop. And I have another friend who was sitting here talking to me and saying, what you need to do is you need to go visit her from time to time and all this kind of stuff. And then she will start missing you. Now, that kind of like a contradiction to me, that a person would miss you because they keep seeing you all the time, which I've always been, my feelings have always been the opposite of when people don't see you. Because when I got the shop, like I said, when I got the shop, they told me it was an impossibility. They said the city wouldn't recognize it as a retail space when they were talking to me about it. So I'm thinking, I won't get that shop. But then again, I was always like, no, that's my shop. I want that shop back. And then I forgot all about it. Okay? And then, as I put it, out of the blue, I just happened to go up there one weekend, and it was a for rent sign. And then, I followed through. But realistically, when I looked at the situation, I was sitting there going, okay, what did I do? All I really did was put an intention out. I want it. That's my shop. Okay? So I did the same thing with this particular girl. I said, okay, I want that. And I was trying to explain to my friends, when I sit here and say, that's who I want to be with, and she's mine. I didn't mean that as possession. It's the ideal of how I feel about her, or what I feel of what kind of life, what kind of visions and that kind of stuff, where I take this very seriously when I see those things, right? So that's what I said. I said, I want that. I want her, and she's mine. And that's what I want. And now I started sitting there thinking about it one day, right? I started thinking about it. I actually, both things, the shop and the particular person, I met them in the same month. And what's so funny about it is when I seen the shop and talked about that and met the girl, at those moments, they were impossibilities. Now, one of those impossibilities is reality. So I asked my friend about the other one. I said, both these things happen. We see a lot of signs. I said, when I was in my shop, I got the shop back. And ever since I got my shop back, somebody came to my freaking shop and traded a Pomeranian out for a picture he gave me, which is a picture of a wolf. And this particular girl, her animal totem is a wolf, which came to my shop. I didn't do anything. It just came to me, okay? Same thing with the shop. I didn't do anything, but it just, the opportunity came to me, which didn't cost me anything. So I was thinking, could that be also the scenario here that...
She'll just come to your shop?
Yeah, that's what I was sitting there going, she's just going to show up.
I was thinking that before you ever said it, about
right.
The wolf.
Yeah, and I told my friend of mine, I seen buses with 14s on them, which is her birthday, and the day of her birth. And I was sitting there going, I also noticed the buses were coming to Manitou Springs when I saw them. And, of course, I also saw the buses one day where they were going up and down. And I asked my friend, I said, I keep getting this really strange feeling like she's actually driving up and down that street and contemplating if she actually wants to stop and come to the shop. And she goes, because when I first asked her the question, did you see her coming by the shop? And she said, no. And I said, when I started talking about driving, she's, oh, you're talking about driving? I said, it's like this, sweetie. If she come walking by the shop, I said, I'm right on the sidewalk. I mean, my shop is like the door sidewalk. I said, I don't need to ask that one, because if she come by the shop, I would know it. Because, I mean, when I walk out my door, I'm on the sidewalk. And she goes, oh, so you said driving by. Yeah, driving by. She goes, oh, yeah, she's been driving by, contemplating. And I said, this is a great scenario, I thought. And she goes, what do you mean by that? I said, because every time she goes home, she has to drive by Manitou Springs. And she's like, I said, the universe has kind of lined a lot of things up where it's a constant reminder. And I was like, that can't be a coincidence. What do you think, sweetie?
I think you're right. I think she's going to just one day drive by and walk in your shop.
And one thing about my shop...
That was a feeling I got before you ever said you got the wolf in your shop. I kept seeing this girl. It was actually just her legs, like she had on a dress that was just below her knees. It was funny because it was like almost a sundress.
Is it kind of like white with the designs on it? Because she has this particular dress that she likes to wear from time to time. And she also wears, you know those tennis shoes? They're very, they're just tennis shoes. They're like white. Got the thing. They're like the ones you would see back in the 60s or 70s.
Right. They're, and this is what the, well, the dress was pink with like darkish, reddish pink flower designs.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the bottom of it. It's almost like old-fashioned sundress.
Okay. I could see that.
You know, and it just kind of like, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see that. I knew it was a sundress.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I saw that before you said about the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, I wonder if she's just going to walk in that door someday. And then you said about the wolf, and I'm going, oh. All righty, there you go.
Yeah, tonight I was sitting there talking to the lady down, because there's like a bar two doors down, and they all have, you know how bars are now, you got to come outside and smoke. And
right.
So I'm sitting there, and it's getting dark, and you know it's getting a little bit colder, and I got my shop still open for a bit. So I have a tendency, and it's only two doors down, which is not very far, so I can see everything where I'm at. And I also believe in protection, so I really don't worry about people coming to my shop and stealing stuff, because I always tell people I just sage it and protection, that kind of stuff, and I believe in that, because we had a shop years ago which actually had doors and stuff, and people go, why do you leave the doors open for? Why not? You know, if you ask for protection, one thing you do have to do is believe in it. So we did, and no one ever came in our shop. I only had one person come in the shop. It was a Christian who put a pamphlet on my table. And I actually told a friend of mine, I said, do you see this pamphlet on my table? This lady here has just lost credibility with me. Because I can't believe God would instruct somebody to come in and violate someone's space of free will. And she was like, huh, I never thought about it that way. Well, I did.
Right.
And it's one of those things, of when you're going to push it. People, I mean, look at Jesus. Realistically, if you read the Bible, he didn't push anything down anybody's throat. He just spoke the truth. And then people can really distinguish between the truth and, you know, the truth and not the truth. And you see how it also reflects people, too, where people love you one minute, and the next day they want to crucify you. And we see that all the time in life.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, so I was in there talking to this lady and everything else. I didn't realize what her name was. Never asked. And then she called a cab, and somebody yelled her name. I'm like, did I hear just what I heard? And it was this girl's name. So I was like, thank you. Where, you know, you hear the name, you get the connections and stuff. And I told my friend, I said, I don't think I need to go and visit her of where she works at. I think it's one of those things where it has to be a situation where I actually had a card in my tarot deck. I have an angel tarot where it says seeds well planted, which means to me, I've already done the work.
There you go.
Yeah. So
and whose name around you starts with an M, like Marianne or Marilyn or...
Why? If I may ask. Let's see, I'm thinking. Right now, all the people around me have A's. Even the particular girl I was saying about, the initial would be A. There's an M in her last name.
Mm.
There's also an M. Like, okay, you have her initial. Would be A. And then there would be an M next to that.
Oh. Maybe that's it.
But I'm thinking, there was a particular person I was actually talking to my friend about that I haven't heard from in years. Her name is Monica.
And she gives you advice? Or used to give you advice?
Yeah, we used to give each other advice, yeah.
Has she passed on?
I don't know. I'm kind of hoping not.
I just thought, well...
If you have a person in particular, okay, listen to this. If you have a person that gives you advice, okay? Now, the one person I would think about with an M name around me would be my grandmother.
Mm.
Her name was Mildred. I think. Mildred. I think. Yeah, I think it was Mildred. That's kind of bad. I can't remember my grandmother's name. I think it was my grandmother's name, but she passed in 87. And I had a couple encounters with her when I was living in the town that she used to live in. I had an apartment, and I remember one day I sat there and threw all my clothes on the freaking ground because I wanted to go to the gym, so I was looking for a particular sweat. I didn't realize I threw them the dirty clothes. I'm like, I'm going to the gym, right? So I just went through all my dirty clothes, got the freaking thing, didn't pick the clothes up or nothing. Or maybe, no, it was laundry I had done, and I threw them on the floor, and I wanted to get these sweats, right? That's what it was, because I've done the other two, but I didn't do it that day. And I sat there and took out, went to the gym, and then I came back, all my clothes were folded up on the bed. So I was like, the first person I thought of was my grandmother. And a friend of mine said, she goes, well, your ex-wife has a key to your apartment. I said, I cannot picture my ex-wife coming to my apartment to fold my clothes up. Leaving a nasty message? Yeah, but, you know, folding my clothes up, I said, the first person I thought about was my grandmother. And then one night I was talking to a girl on the phone at like 2 o'clock in the morning, and she goes, I think you should be going to bed. And I was like, no, I'm good. And also my lights went out. I said, oh, I had one of those lights that you've got to physically turn on, and it went out. Like someone turned it off. So I said, if I got to turn this light on, I think I should go to bed. So I went up and turned it on. You could hear it click. I'm like, oh, that's freaky. Someone actually turned that light off. And then one night I had this date with some girl, I guess it was, and everything went wrong. I mean, the candle caught some paper on fire. I mean, the smoke detector went off. The phone went out. I mean, just all this stuff. I'm just like, I don't think we're supposed to do this.
Right.
So then, like, that was another thing too. Where I felt like that was my grandmother. And I remember I used to go stay with her a lot, too. And she lives in the country. I remember one night I called her 25 times. Because my mom said, why don't you call your grandma so you can go stay with her for the weekend. I called her 25 times. That's how bad I wanted to go stay with her on the weekend. So, yeah, I missed that one. And I used to stay with her, too. And she would give me advice at the weird, you know, scariest times sometimes. I was married. And me and my ex-wife were actually sleeping on the couch. And we had done something that night, and I didn't realize my grandmother had heard it.
Oh!
All of a sudden, you get this deep voice that comes out of the darkness. You beast, you know, you sin against us. So I'm like, oh my God, is it you? It was my grandmother, and she just had that voice, you know. You beast, you should never. You know, I was like, oh my gosh, I was like, you know, it was a scary moment. Where's the voice coming from, you know? So you get the... But I would sit here and check out with a random. And let me look for... And, yeah, call me after the show. I will definitely try to find that freaking...
All right, I will do that.
So what do you think about this show, Brian, huh? Success or... I always want to say... Try to put it questions in a positive way. I feel like this shop is going to be very successful. So therefore, do you affirm or not? Because I've always teaching people how to ask questions. Because I keep telling myself, if you go and you ask a psychic, does my boyfriend have feelings for me? Anybody can answer that question, yes. And they go,
of
really?
Of course.
I said, he hates you. That's the emotion. That's a feeling. It's a feeling of hate. So therefore, all you're saying, you're being very vague, and you're saying, hey. Does he have feelings for me? Of course he does. He can't stand you. You know?
Right.
So what do you think about this shop?
Well, the shop's going to be a success because you're going to make it one.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was sitting there talking about the thing because it happened the way it did. I guess it's what gives me hope about the other, you know, because of, this is like a miracle thing that happened. When I look at this situation, because I had this lady talk to me one time, and she goes, well, a miracle to me is just finding the right person, getting married, and everything going very smoothly. And I said, okay, that's great. But in the process of that unfolding, you know, what are you learning? I said, we have to look at the situations of miracles in the process of positive perception, changing our thinking, you know, and that kind of stuff. And she goes, okay, I understand that, but I think it's just the idea of the right person at the right time, everything going in place. Okay, great. But miracles are things that defy reality. So right now you're thinking of reality right now is you're thinking that it's not going to happen the way you want it to. All of a sudden, tomorrow, the person's knocking on your door going, I've changed my mind, I've had a different perception, and I really want this relationship, or I want to have a relationship with you. Now, wouldn't that kind of blow your feet off in the process of thinking? It might even change your perception that you do believe in miracles. In the process of believing in miracles, you change your perception to be more positive. I look at it as a learning experience. So therefore, that's what life is all about. So my friend, I said, this is what I see. I see her showing up at my shop when I least expect it. Look up, and there she is. And then you go, okay, what am I going to do now? But, you know, it's one of those things. I think readings are for help us to have the perception that when these things happen, not the idea of waiting for them to happen, but to actually be good with ourselves, you know. Sit there and look at yourself and say, okay, what kind of a person am I right now? Can I handle it if she just showed my shop today? And being honest with yourself and saying, no, I'm not. But that doesn't mean I can't be. So therefore, we do the work to be the strongest we can be. So when that does happen, it can be a spontaneous, a flowish kind of situation, which you want it to be, because you know that once that connection is made, you see a relationship happening between two people. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
And that's my feelings on it. I feel like realistically, just letting it go, she shows up. We feel like that just by showing up, there's definitely a change in perception. It has to be in some kind of positive way, or she wouldn't be standing there. Even the idea of sitting in and talking to each other has to be certain things that happen in a very positive way. So that should give us some encouragement too. But also with the situation, I feel like once a person makes a decision to go in a different direction, then what you want should be a whole lot easier to obtain. But you also have to be yourself. Because when you start acting out, you know, you start getting nervous and that kind of stuff, you're not being yourself, which can actually hinder anything happening. I've been in situations like this before. I had a girlfriend I hadn't seen in 15 years, and I just ran into her spontaneously at a freaking carryout out in the middle of the country. Me and my friend and I just stopped to get some cigarettes, and we walk in this place, and there she was. And I was so shocked by the whole thing, I couldn't say anything. And what I thought was so cool, because I think it was more of a manifestation to happen for me. Because I was kind of always curious, did I make an impression on her? Does she remember me? And when I walked through that door and she saw my face and she saw me, all she said was, Donnie. Which gave me the encouragement, says, yes, she did remember me and I did make a good impression. What'd I say? Okay, that kind of ticked me off. What do I say? I looked at her and I was like, she goes, you don't remember me, do you? I said, oh, no, I remember you. And my friend was there and he says, it's kind of funny, but he's been talking about you for the last 2 weeks. But since I didn't respond in a positive way and she thought I forgot about her, she wouldn't give me the time of day. Called. And I told him, you know, tell this person to give me, this is my number, give me a call. I'd love to sit here and talk to her. Just to reminisce about the old days. She wouldn't do that.
Wow.
So she thought I forgot about her. So we could look at the situation and go, well, she wasn't listening to her perception, was she? Or her intuition? Because I would have told her totally different with somebody talking about her for the last 2 weeks. And a lot of things that I couldn't forget about her. So things just came to this. It's almost like trying to help other people understand and also live it and say, okay, this is what I need to do. I need to let go and allow and tell the universe I'm open to receive that and to look at a situation and say, okay, here's the vision I see, and then seeing that vision become a reality as it plays itself out and tell myself, okay, I'm going to be on the receiving part of that. Am I going to be good? And I think the idea of just being in my shop has actually gave me a voice of working with people again, that this girl can actually see me, not just what I've told her, but she can actually see me living it.
Right.
I don't think it's a way of impressing her. It's just the ideal of putting foundation with what I've already, with who I am. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Right. You're right.
So
makes
like,
a lot of sense.
So, I was like, okay, you get a conversation, you talk, and the next thing you know, it's like an instantaneous, you're in a relationship just like that because of that. Because, I mean, when we look at it, it has to be a positive, it's a positive move in the right direction for her. So, therefore, everything that happens afterwards would just fall into place. God, that was hard to say. Anyway. But I also get the same thing with you, too. I was pulling the cards. We got the page of water, page of cups, where it talks, it's the card I pulled out was talking about the idea of a relationship. But it's talking about a relationship. Now, most people look at the cup cards like this and go, okay, let's be about a relationship you're going to have. Now, when I look at it, I see more of a relationship that that begins a new phase, but I feel like it's that relationship with you and yourself. Because the next card was a magician, where it talks about that you're ready. You have the resources and the ability to manifest everything the way you want it to. So therefore, you just got to follow through with it. Now, we sit there and looked at the third card, which was a five of earth, which is a five of pentacles, where it shows fear surrounding money. But it also shows the idea of wisdom, the wisdom to accept help from others and the idea of getting out. But it also, this is kind of funny, the card also represents uncertainty about self-employment. I love these cards. Like,
yeah,
you can't dispute it and say, okay, you're right. So you point it out and you look at the situation, but when you look at the freaking cards themselves, they've got very positive outcomes to the situation of realizing unnecessary or uncertainty of self-employment. It's just an uncertainty with yourself. And you're coming to a point where it's just the ideal no longer feeding into that illusion.
Right. Right.
Because of the strength within yourself of what you... I would sit here and say that you've acquired a lot of strength in the situation you've gone through. So they're just saying that some of the things that have happened was because of your intentions, but now it's the idea of changing those intentions to what you really want. I always like that. I was telling a friend of mine because he saw 555, and I said, well, it says your life is going to change in a dramatic way, but it also cautions you in that dramatic change in your life to keep your thoughts positive so there'd be a smooth transition. If not, you're still going to get that change, but not really in the way you want it to. But you'll learn. And next time you go through one of those things, keep yourself positive.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, basically... I was going to ask a question, but I forgot what it was. Anyway. But those are good cards. And I would sit here and take those and just say, okay, uncertainty. Focus on myself to get that clarity with myself. Some days are interesting, I'm telling you. I meet a lot of people. And I think the one experiences I missed the most about having a shop is the people you run into. And I told a friend of mine, it's like a catch-22. You meet a lot of people, you make a lot of connections and stuff, but it also helps you understand what connections are, what kind of difference connections they are. You know, you connect with people, but it doesn't mean it's always going to be a relationship on a romantic front. It could be a friendship, or it could be just a connection at that moment. And you'll never see those people again. But those connections happen in the now. And it also helps you to live in the now. So I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, do you realize when you sit there and take a thought from the past, of a past relationship, and you're thinking, because of this past relationship, you're looking at this person that just entered your life. And this person had some mannerisms that made you think about this past person, okay? In the process of thinking about that past person and what they did to you, you're thinking that this what this person's going to do to you in the future because of that something you haven't let go of, right? So at that moment, you're not living the now. You're actually in the past and the future at the same time.
Right.
So it's the idea of helping people understand the reason you need to let go of this and focus on what's going on at this moment, because that's the only experience. That's the only thing that exists at that moment. And you're not even living it. You're not even there. because you're thinking about what's going to happen to you because what happened to you in the past. And this person, you can't see them for who they are, because at that moment, you're not even seeing yourself. You're too caught up in the fear. You're too caught up in what might happen. And I've, you know, people go, how can you change that? You could look at that person that's standing in front of you and realize you manifested them to confront these fears, which means you've made a decision somewhere along the line that you want to have a good relationship. You want to have a different relationship, and you want to have a different outcome. Now it's your chance to embrace that, but you got to put yourself back in the now. Once you put yourself back in the now and see that person for who they are, you see yourself. You see this great person standing in front of you and realizing you're a great person that manifested that. So see, it reflects both you, and to realize that by being such great people that you're going to have a great relationship. All you got to do is confront the fears and not run away from them. Because I tell people all the time, and the one reason I was sort of telling a friend of mine about certain relationships, even the one I was sort of talking about earlier, is the reason you let them go, because realistically at that moment, when all those things are unfolding and they're pulling themselves away from you or even denying or whatever, they're not good for you. So you need to cut it loose and just let it go and give it to the universe, God, the angels, to actually heal this person, situations, whatever is all around it, in favor of the outcome that you're looking for. But the one key you have to do is let go of it. And I'm not saying give up. I'm saying detach yourself from it and tell the universe, do what you need to do. And then one card I've been seeing a lot, no, not one card, I'm sorry. The one number that I've been seeing quite a bit, I mean all the time, is a 1-2-2. And in my angel book, on the 1-2-2, what it means, it says that heaven is working behind the scenes on the finishing touches of your manifestation, which is about to come to the surface, which is about to come into physical form. So what we should do when we see signs like that is another indication why it's so crucially important to let go. Because the universe has already heard it, already answered it. Now it's for us to let down the resistance to allow it to happen. Whew. Now I feel exhausted.
No, but it's all true.
Yeah, so there's somebody in the queue right now at 731 area code. We're going to get to them.
All right. Well, let me let you go real quick.
So,
and I will call you back after the show.
There you go. We'll talk about it. We can get you some information. Maybe we'll get you going here. Okay?
All right, dear.
All right. You have a good. Thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you later.
Mm.
All righty.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Area code 731. What's up?
Oh, you. I was listening to everything you were saying to the previous caller, and I was going to call about one thing, and you kind of answered that.
Okay.
Get
a kick out of that.
So I would like to know, I had this lady, she was like my spiritual advisor. And one day, all of a sudden, I noticed there was something different about her, you know, her attitude towards me and me, you know, really, I really should have been moving away, you know, because she was like a crutch.
Uh-huh.
Because I have the gift as well. But she accused me of her husband, that if I had attention towards him, I mean, this man is sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in love with my husband, and that was, you know, all our engagement. And so naturally, when I went by there to see her, I mean, she called me and, you know, made this accusation and said some stuff. I just threw it out of my spirit. I can't really remember. And so I would like to know what was going on there.
Why, was it jealousy?
Jealousy. Mm-hmm.
The first thing that came to me was you exceeded her.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
Your spiritual concepts exceed her. And she's also seems like she's caught up in the ego.
Okay.
So it's all about her, in some sense of the word. And some of the things that she had given you advice about, I think you would assess the situation and proceed in a different direction.
Uh-huh.
And she seems to take that offensively.
Okay.
That's
not good. Mm-hmm.
So you should do what I tell you to do. And realistically, when we do readings for people, we're actually their guides. And their guides are giving you information and giving us information. But, you know, you're at a level at certain points where you can't hear it. Or you do, but you're doubting it. So it's realistically her job to help you connect with yourself even more so you can do it on your own. But she doesn't seem like she's the person that wants to do that. She likes the attention.
Okay.
And that's kind of sad because, I mean, I love all the attention I get. But I still tell people, let's do a reading. This is what's going to happen. And just make it happen.
Yeah.
It means make it happen. Okay, so that's what I see happening. And what I'm emphasizing on the whole thing is it's all you that actually determines the outcome. And the reading itself is telling you on the right path and you're doing a good thing. And then I feel like you've exceeded her.
Uh-huh.
You can't really learn anything else from her. Because
okay.
She's at a certain, but she's actually plateaued off. And now it's one of those situations where she's taking it kind of offensively because I feel like, in some sense, where her guides are telling her that she can learn from you because of how you have progressed.
Uh-huh.
And as a person. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it was just so weird. But, like you said,
you should be in my position and have to deal with these kind of spiritual people, as they call themselves, in the process of how they can get so insecure.
Uh-huh.
When they shouldn't be getting insecure. They should see things for what they are. And everybody has a position. Everybody's here for a reason. There is no such thing as competition. And I've actually heard that in spiritual realms. And I'm just like, huh? Okay, competition is a human concept, not a spiritual concept. Spiritual concept says there are no limitations.
Right.
And also spiritual evolution or spiritual growth, emotional growth, this is not a six-month course. It's a lifetime commitment. You're constantly changing and evolving. My ex-girlfriend used to get freaked out because I would be sitting here listening to subliminal audios and stuff like that, constantly trying to expand. And she goes, well, you're great. You're fantastic. You're awesome what you do. Yes, but how many levels is there to that where I can actually keep working and working and working to give back to the people I work with? So it's a constant expansion, constant growing and everything. So when people ask questions like that, you kind of feel like they think it's, I've had people do this too. They'll say, well, I took a six-month course. Well, good for you. But it's like a blueprint. A blueprint is instructions on how to create a house, for instance. Okay, books, teachers are also the same thing. They're blueprints on what you can create with your life. But it's up to you to take that and build your house or your life and all the rooms in it. And it's constant. You build a house, you furnish the house. Even when you furnish the house, you're constantly changing things and different things. This is your perception constantly changing. So if you live in that house, there are some people that, even in people who live in houses who have patterns, you will still see things over the years that have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your life. So therefore, when people start saying, well, hey, you know, or I don't like you, or they give you an attitude, that's a judgmental thing in some sense of the word, which has a reflection of their perception and a little bit of too much ego.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. There are a lot of, well, lately I'm in driving, but I'm still, something is holding me. My children, I'm just led to just release them to the universe because I've realized my job was to get them here.
Mm-hmm.
And to just release them so I can be free to do the things that I'm here to do. And those relationships sometimes kind of stymie us from evolving because we're caught on with the ties of family and friends. And that, you know, and so then if we allow them to continue with our journey and we're dissatisfied with that relationship, then it's easy to blame everybody when it's really self. You know, it's the choice. And it seems unorthodox to say, well, I'm going to release my children to the universe because I don't like how they engage me. I don't like how I feel when I'm in their presence.
So when you distance yourself, they have to realize that the reason you've done that is because of their actions, not yours.
Exactly. And it's not that I don't love them, it's that I love myself more.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I love them, but I love me more. And
well, you got to look at the situation, too. The more you love yourself, realistically, the more you can love your children, because what are they? They're extensions of you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, so you're just really, realistically, when you look at the situation and being that beneficial for yourself, you're benefiting your kids and as a good example that they're going to pick up on it, hopefully.
Yeah.
So they all have personalities of their own, okay? Once they turn, once they turn five, they pretty much have a perception, a personality, and that's who they are. And what our job is just to give them advice and information so they can make good decisions.
Exactly.
So if they can't make good decisions, we could blame ourselves, but we also have to look at the perception. They have to pick it up and they have to learn. So, you know, I told a friend of mine this the one time, and I've actually done with clients, I said, this might sound crazy, but we're not responsible for our kids. We're only responsible for ourselves, and what we do for ourselves has a tendency to be a reflection that everybody can learn from, even them. And they go, oh, no, we're responsible. That's the world telling you those things.
Exactly.
Because they want somebody to be accountable for their actions so they can get compensated for what they do. So they can't get it from the kids, and per se, they want to get it from you. So basically it's an insecurity playing out in a chain of events. Like insurance. Insurance is feeding into lack and limitation. It's also feeding into fear of what could happen. So, you know, that's why I think people look at it as an evil thing. Because realistically it's an entity that was created because of negative thoughts. And plus it's also an insecurity of people who want to be compensated. So when you sit here and look at the situation, we always talk about manifestation, okay? If everybody could get the concept of manifestation, then all these institutions wouldn't exist because there would be no fear.
Right.
And they'll tell you otherwise, of course, because why? The insecurity is always going to keep some kind of format to keep feeding it. And, boy, there's a lot of fear out there because some of these insurance companies are pretty big.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of funny when we sit here talking about Allstate. Why was Allstate, it's like one of the biggest insurance companies out there, which also was created during the Depression, a fearful time in our history. So it's kind of funny how you can actually trace these things back to a fear, an insecurity of someone. Because I was sitting here, we had this thing on the show the other night, too, where we were talking about what is the description of sin? It's basically described as the lack of. So when people have a lack of love, they have a tendency to commit adultery or have affairs because they don't feel like they're getting that love, so they go somewhere else to get it. When people have a lack of money, they have a tendency to put themselves in situations of stealing, which is a sin. So you can see the sins, how they play out. But once you put the one thing in there that actually combats that whole thing is love. And if you are an instinctively caring, and like you said before, it all comes back to self and say, okay, you got to love yourself. And in the process of loving yourself, you're not saying you're selfish. Selfish is a person who has no clue what they're all about. And they're taking it from everybody else. A person who's actually loving themselves and doing the work on themselves has a tendency to reflect in a very positive way. So I love myself unconditionally, you know, unconditional love, you know, just a constant loving. Okay, that attracts another person who feels the same way. So therefore, when you have a relationship, you have two people who can unconditionally love themselves so they can unconditionally love you.
Exactly.
And they do it together. So I told a friend of mine, I said, do you think that a relationship is a two-way street? And he goes, yeah. It's not. It's a continuous. It's like looking at the symbol of infinity. It's a figure eight. Now picture your love between two people that way. And then you'll have the idea what a real relationship's all about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's what I'm saying is what your kids, remember. You are unconditionally loving yourself, so you're spontaneously loving them.
Yeah.
And their perceptions of saying, well, you're not giving me something, is something they should be giving to themselves.
Exactly. And that, you know, that is love because, you know, as parents, we tend to have expectation of our kids. Of how they should do this and that as it regards to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you love yourself, you remove yourself from that centeredness of expectation from someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And freeing them to be them, you know, hopefully through this process, they will evolve. But right now, I need my space because for them, if I call them, they'll look at the phone, oh, it's mom.
Yeah.
And, you know, ignore the call. And you feel that. You can feel that when someone is doing that to you, right?
Right.
And that's irritating. So I say, wow, so they're teaching me. I'm learning. I'm, you know, they're just, we're mere reflections of one another.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So, okay, so this is what I need to do. I need to back all the way off.
Mm-hmm.
And since they've closed the door, leave it closed so I can heal
also
and get
too.
Into me. You know, so
right.
I saw a lot of things that I have been neglecting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's making me a better person because I have no more expectations of them.
Yeah.
You know, I release my light to them.
Well, I was also thinking, too, in the process of someone looking at you and saying, I love you, honestly, people shouldn't be scared of people when they say that to you. Because realistically, okay, I mean, if we're actually physical manifestations of each other that we've actually created, and we've created the relationships and that kind of stuff, to sit there and tell someone that you love them realistically reflects back at how much you really do love yourself.
Exactly.
So they can actually honestly say that to you. Because
yeah.
I've had people look at me going, you love me? How is that possible? You don't even know me. Yes, I do, because I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I love myself, so therefore I love you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you should also try to do the same. Because realistically, by looking at me, you definitely have the ability to do so.
Yes.
Because if you're looking at me, so I told my girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, I sat there and told her, I said, okay, this is the way it works. You're saying I'm awesome, great, and fantastic. Well, like attracts like, and so are you. And she goes, oh, no. I said, maybe your life doesn't reflect it right now, but it's definitely within you, or you would not be looking at me. So
right.
When you look at me, you see you. So there, it could also give you the encouragement that what is within you is like on the threshold of coming out. The only person's holding it back is your perception.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like learning so much about yourself that you actually see other people too, more clearly than you probably ever have in a long time. And that's a good thing, when you can actually see other people you can see yourself in other people, which means, I always say you can see God in everyone, which means you see yourself,
mm-hmm.
your true self, who you really are.
Right.
When you love people on a spiritual level, you truly love them. And then the physical part that most people have in romantic relationships, that's just for expressing that love you have created spiritually. That's the, because it's kind of funny, people say, I want to find my soulmate, my twin flame, but then they want to use human concepts to find it.
Mm-hmm.
Intuition, psychic abilities, those are our spiritual gifts to help us find the right one, the right opportunities, the life purpose, everything. We're just not, you know, just listen. And then when you find those things, we are living this physical body so we can actually experience it and enjoy it to the fullest. But it's a combination of both, you know?
Right. Well, sometimes I wonder, you know, am I really to be in a relationship? Because when you're still growing and you're here, we're all here for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess, hello?
I'm still here.
Okay. I thought my phone was going out.
No,
that it makes it hard to connect, you know, to intertwine with someone else. Based on, you know, the differences, you know, you have different differences that creates a division. And then that takes you away from your square, your centeredness all of a sudden, because now, you know, you're bringing this other life. So that's what I'm questioning. Everybody, we want to be with someone and feel secure, but a relationship is a lot of work.
Yeah, but see, with the situation of relationships, if we work on ourselves and become the strongest person we can, and also learn from the reflections when we are in relationships, they can actually be very easy. Because they're actually things we've created to actually get to know ourselves better. I actually told a girlfriend this, and I told her flat out that by not allowing this to happen, I said, you're not allowing by getting to know me and the great person that I am, you're missing out on getting to know that great person that you are. And I said, the sad part about it is, I was looking forward to getting to know you and getting to know that part of me by knowing you. My friend was like, that was one of the best lines I've ever heard. I'm sitting there going, but the point is, it's not a line. It's the truth. That's how I feel about her, to the point where I'm sad. And realistically, I would say for the first time in my life, it's just really wanting to get to know somebody, and knowing by getting to know that person, a lot of things are going to happen, to the point where we're confronting fears and that kind of stuff. But I know when you do that, every time you confront a fear and go through it, there's always a positive afterwards. But I also know that for a fact, that if you're going to deny those things and push them away, you also create a void and a space that invites things that you don't want in. Because at that moment of pushing them away, you are thinking in a negative way. Oh, this can't be good for me, so therefore you're going to attract something that's not good for you. And you're going to probably make a bad decision. Well, it's going to be making a decision to go away from that, which is a positive situation you created in the first place that you really did want. And now you're second-guessing yourself. In the process of second-guessing yourself, those will also become a physical manifestation of reality, too. I should write a book. Anyway. And I was sitting there going, you know something, it's like one of those things where I was like, I want to write this book. And I was like having a hard time saying, I'm going to do this. And I said, and it was like something came to me and says, well, when you're doing the readings and you're talking to people and that kind of stuff, what is actually going on at that moment? You're listening to your guidance. So therefore, you should also use the same thing and write the book. I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty simple. And it's the same thing with relationships, too, because we all want to be in relationships. I think we should also stand back and allow those to happen, and also to realize one thing. We're having relationships with everybody
exactly.
At different levels. So therefore, the one you're looking for is obviously realistically you're looking for yourself. But they've always said about twin flames. Twin flames is the other part of your soul, the other part of you. So therefore, to attract that other part of you, don't you have to know yourself really good too?
Yeah.
So it can be easy. It's a human concept that says it has to be complicated. Why? Because my therapist said so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fire your therapist. Yeah. Your realtor says, I got to have at least 20 people go through your house. And I say, fire him too.
Okay.
Because in the process of, hold on for a minute, I'm going to tell her, hold on.
All right.
Okay, hold on for a minute. I'm still finishing up a reading, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, just hold on right there, and I'll be right with you in a minute, okay? Just stay right there. All right. So, yes. So we sit here, look at the situation, and go, okay, there you go. It's a simple thing because, you know, it's kind of funny how we hear these people and that kind of stuff. Because I told her flat out. I told my friend, I said, you want to sell your house? She goes, yeah. You only need one person.
Okay.
You need to focus on that person and fire your realtor, and you need to hire me.
Okay.
And she sold her house. She sold her house in a week.
Okay.
Okay. So you know what I'm saying? That's why I always tell people, sit down and do a private session with me. I guarantee you, it'd be one of the, you know, it'd be always people would say, how can you say that? It'd be one of the best readings you ever had.
Okay.
Will it be the last one you get? Probably not.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean you shouldn't get one. And the ideal of the situation is, you know, I sit there and tell people, why do I feel like it would be a great reading? It's because we're connecting to spirit. How could it not be? I'm just a messenger. It's the ideal learning to listen. Because I have a tough time with psychics who sit there and say, well, you really can't read yourself. And I said, isn't that a contradiction? Because in the process of doing a reading, aren't you listening to your heart as your angels and guides are talking to you?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you do the same thing for yourself? I hope you do.
Okay.
So therefore, if a person has been doing this for over 20 years, they should be able to read themselves.
Okay.
Okay, so I have to go, but I encourage you to do the same. I'd love to sit down and do a reading with you sometime.
Okay. Well, I'm going to save you and come back. So when are you on?
Right now it's like Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. I'm debating on the freaking Fridays and Saturdays because I really get busy at the shop. So I've been thinking about moving back to the same time we're doing now, 8 o'clock.
Okay.
But just like you said, it's a favorite. So as soon as I change it, whatever it goes, you'll know.
Okay.
But try to join us on Wednesdays because we try to do a 6 o'clock show on
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then. I can't see the clock. What time is it there?
Oh, right now it's 11:20.
11:20, okay.
So 6 o'clock, when I say 6 o'clock or 8 o'clock, I'm talking about Mountain Time.
Okay, Mountain Time, okay.
Okay.
All right, got you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Thank you for calling.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right. As always, guys, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. You guys have a great time and great day. And thank you for everybody out there who listened. Thank you for everybody who called in. It was a fantastic show, and it's all because we're all working together. And thank you for being here. We'll talk to you guys all later. Bye-bye.